WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. This time, following up the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series, Sonoma Nationals, out there at Sonoma, California, wine country. And if you love the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, drag racing 300 miles per hour, the pro stockers, the nitro cars, well, you are listening to the right show. And if you are a first-time listener, it's basically sports talk for drag racing with interviews with the winning drivers. If that sounds like your style, retweet the link, let your friends know, and subscribe to WFO Radio. Guess who's going to be on the show? Well, funny car winner and winningest female funny car driver in the history of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, Courtney Force, going to be on this show. We're going to speak with Courtney about her win over her dad and going to the ESPY Awards and all the associated storylines with Courtney Force. Also on the show, Khaled Al-Balushi beat his teammate, the reigning Mellow Yellow World Champion, in the final round, an all-Alanabi final round. That must have made Alan Johnson very, very happy in his home region of the country. We're going to hear from Khaled Al-Balushi on this show. Also on the show, driver of the Summit Racing Equipment Blue Chevrolet Camaro, Jason Lyon, going to be on the show. We're going to talk with Jason about the run for the championship, basically positioning himself now in the right place, in the right time. And Jason Lyon going to be on this show. Also on the show, we'll call it the Vance and Hines Screaming Eagle Harley Davidson Weekend Sweep. Eddie Krawick wins the Sonoma Nationals. Andrew Hines wins the Miramonte Records Pro Bike Battle. That's a pretty successful weekend. Andrew won a week ago out there at Bandimere. We're going to speak with Eddie Krawick this time, hopefully for a little longer than Andrew, on this show. And of course, we like to mix it up a little bit. We're headed to Pacific Raceways, the place to race. We've got WFO Radio listeners up there. John Ramsey, the general manager of that facility, is going to come on the program to talk to us about some of the changes and updates and things they've done to the facility since the last time the tour was there, and just how unique Seattle is as a drag racing market. And of course, from CompetitionPlus.com, the editor Bobby Bennett going to come on to talk about some cool, interesting things. Also going to ask Bobby his thoughts about some of the storylines going on in the world of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. So get in, sit down, hold on, get ready. We've got a great show for you. It's going to be a long one, folks, so we're going to gobble up a lot of hours of your work week. Just keep that earbud in. Keep looking like you're doing your thing. No one will ever know the difference. And we start them all off the same way. He is traveling the country. He is from parts unknown. Alan Reinhart, the voice of the NHRA. Alan, where in the world is Alan Reinhart?
Alan Reinhart is actually in Crescent City, California. I'm not in parts unknown. I'm harleying my way from Sonoma up to Seattle like I've done, I think this is four of the last 5 years. So a tip of the cap to my friends at Harley-Davidson that let me borrow the scooter and enjoying the ride up the coast.
Parts unknown just sounds so mysterious.
It sounds like an old wrestling thing from, you know, the...
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I borrowed it from.
Parts. In this day and age with GPS, you can almost never be parts unknown because you just plug in the map and, yep, here's where I am.
How is that ride? I have not the most experience with Pacific Coast Highway and all that, but I did do one jaunt from I don't even know from where to where, but it was a great time. It was absolutely beautiful. It was gorgeous. I was not on a Harley. I was in a Prius V, but I enjoyed the ride nonetheless. Being on a Harley must be so cool.
Well, being in a Prius is definitely not cool. So
not only a Prius, yeah. The Prius V, like the minivan version of the Prius. So it was even worse.
I didn't know what a Prius is. I'm a drag racer. You will never catch me. I will walk before you see me in a Prius.
It was courtesy of Toyota. It was a wonderful trip. They flew me out there. They put me in the V. I accepted it.
Okay, all right. Well, if you're there strictly as a journalist doing a report on the vehicle, then I'll give you that.
Thank you. That's what it was.
You know, I'm a big block supercharged fast car guy. Prius just isn't going to be me. But the Harley is pretty nice. No, I always do the Highway 1. I left Napa where we were staying for the weekend and went straight to the coast at Bodega Bay. And then Highway 1 literally has the ocean on the left for about 140 or 50 miles. It's just your twisting, turning, curving mountain road, basically, until it intersects with Highway 101 a little bit further north. And then, Highway 101 comes back to the coast a little bit before where I am now in Crescent City, and then I'm going to ride the coast on up all the way through Oregon and then into Seattle. So great ride, great trip, amazing motorcycle. The brand-new motorcycle that I've gotten from Harley is, GPS and all kinds of comm stuff and silly things and plug-in for your phone or iPod or whatever. And Chris on Saturday said, you're going to have to come by so I can show you how to sync your phone up the motorcycle. I said, why would I want to do that? There is nobody that I want to talk to while I'm out there just carving up the roads and enjoying my cruise. So, sorry I missed your message yesterday, but I had much less important things on my mind and was enjoying every minute of it.
Oh, I can imagine. And that was the nature of my message. I kind of figured your mind state would be such. And so it's just like, hey, whenever you get this, let's try to figure something out. I can picture you out there on the highways making it happen. What is the model of the Harley-Davidson so I can bring it up and look at it?
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't know. It doesn't have a badge on it anywhere. It's a full dresser. I don't know if it's like the Extreme Ultra Classic or I honestly don't know. And I've been asked that everywhere I stop, so I need to shoot a note to Ken or Chris or one of the guys and ask them, because every time I stop for gas or stop, somebody comes over and asks about it, and I'm embarrassed to say, well, I don't know, it's one of those. But it's pretty nice, got all the toys, and you can see it if you stop by in any of the NHRA races, because it's part of the Harley-Davidson display on the manufacturer's Midway and Nitro Alley. Come by and sit on it and see what you think. I've been sitting on it for a long time, the last day or so.
I can't wait. My next race is in Brainerd, and I will do exactly that. If not then at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, which is really right around the corner, Alan, thinking about it. I'm going to mention it to some of the racers when we speak with them on the show, but all of a sudden it's crunch time. You've got Wilkerson, you've got Beckman, you've got Battles and Pro Stock, Greg Anderson, Jonathan Gray. All of a sudden the pressure seems ratcheted up. At least my perspective, I have been just enjoying it. Like, wow, this is great. And then all of a sudden realize, whoa, wait a second, a lot of these guys are on the verge of maybe not making the countdown, and we're going to decide a champion not long from now.
Well, this is definitely the time of year when you start focusing on 7 through 12 or 13 as opposed to who's in the top 5. The top 5 and basically all the categories are either mathematically locked or close enough that, they're really not in any danger. But, who's going to get in and who's going to get out is what the real focus is now. And that's, the 7 through 12 or 13 drivers. And, keep in mind, once you do the reset, Robert Hight came from 10th and won the championship a couple of years ago. There have been a couple of runs that guys had started way down in the top 10 and made the run. So, I think some of the teams are going into experiment mode right now to make sure that they're ready when the countdown starts, especially if you're locked in. And some of the teams are in, I don't want to say panic mode, but, they're certainly understanding. You mentioned Wilkerson and Beckman, who raced for the 10th spot first round this past weekend. Those guys now are looking at every point, every round, every run as critical, because it truly is.
That, to me, that is very interesting, an interesting wrinkle. I would say in Top Fuel, the top 10 are set. Bob Vandegrift is 11th. J.R. Todd is 10th. not to take anything away from Bob, but JR's running pretty well, and that is a pretty large, nearly 100 points, basically. It's actually more than 100 points. In Funny Car, it's Tim and Jack Beckman pretty much for the 10th and 11th spot. Dell a little bit ahead of Tim, so I guess something could happen there, but Dell seems to be running pretty well. So that's a nice little battle. And Jonathan Gray and Greg Anderson, someone will not make the top 10 out of those two. Chris McGahey seems considerably ahead, so I don't know if he's going to fall out. Of course, if someone doesn't qualify, that's a different story. That could happen. And in Pro Stock Motorcycle, Steve Johnson holds the 10th spot. Adam Arana, not far behind in 11th. And wow, Jerry Savoie, all of a sudden, running really quick. So a lot of things unsettled in terms of the 10th position in the countdown.
Well, and that's the whole thing, is that, so much can happen in one race. Would Bob Vandergrift be considered a long shot? Yeah, maybe. But he certainly has a car that's capable of winning. He's proven that over the last few seasons. So, hypothetically speaking, he goes to Seattle, has a good weekend, or has some good fortune, makes a final round, and all of a sudden he's right back in it. With three races to go, there are still a lot of points out there. And as we've seen, all year long, look at Robert Hight. Wins, and then loses first round a couple races in a row. Lost first round this past race. Now, obviously, Robert's not going to get bumped out of the top 10, but the point being that anybody can go hot or cold at any time. John Force went to the finals two of the first three races and semis at the other one, and then lost first round five times in a row. So if a J.R. Todd, if a Jonathan Gray, if, goes out and gets beat first round the next couple of races, you can make up some ground in a hurry, and it's just a matter of waiting and watching and seeing what's going to happen. Are they running good? Absolutely. But, Robert Hight's running good as well, and he went out first round last week. Del Worsham went out first round last week. Things can happen, and, basically on a dime. So we'll just have to wait and see for the next three.
And the nature of drag racing being that when you knock someone out of gaining points, it's not like a NASCAR situation where they finish 15th, they've still gained a bunch of points, and you have to finish ahead of them. You can be knocked out in the first round and not gain points from that point forward, so you can make up points in large bunches. Let's start off with Funny Car. Let's start off, actually, with just general assessment of the event. Being in Brainerd, I felt like that was a great success of an event. Being at Bandimere in Denver, huge crowds every day, and it looked to me like that momentum carried over to Sonoma. Watching the qualifying shows and watching the Sunday show, looked like packed grandstands to me.
It was very strong. I didn't hear any official numbers, but the crowds were very strong all 3 days. Of course, we had good weather all 3 days. We had no threat of rain all 3 days. That's just huge. If you wake up and you look and it's going to be, either cold and foggy, or it's going to be 105 degrees, and then you make your game day decision, is this something that I really want to do? When you wake up and the forecast is, 80 degrees and sunny skies and beautiful day, then, it's easy to make the decision to go out and join the NHRA. So, the crowds were terrific. I think the show was great for the most part. You really didn't know what was going to happen. There were, some upsets and some surprises and lots of fun. And it was just overall, I think the event was a solid A-, maybe even an A. I almost never give an A+ because I always believe there's room for improvement someplace. But it was a good, solid event. If we had every event on the tour went as cleanly, as smoothly, and we had as much fun as we did in Sonoma, it would just be sunshine and roses forever.
Like one of my former employers during employee review time of year, never give fives. That was it. No fives. No matter what they do, you do not get a five. You're not that good. So I got fours. But bottom line, it looked great. Courtney Force and Brittany Force, number one qualifiers together again. That was cool. And Courtney, when that happens, she goes on to victory, this time in the final round over her father. She beats Peter Russo, who broke, and that's kind of interesting. We're going to speak with Courtney. You say it all the time, the right place, right time kind of sport. If Peter Russo could have just gotten down the track somehow, it would have been two number one qualifiers shocked in the first round.
And, it was kind of interesting to watch that, Peter Russo only made one run to get in and wasn't a particularly great run that he did get in on in qualifying, but John Force made a very nice run in the first round, and then Courtney's car went out and just blew the tires off of it. If there's somebody in the other lane, does she get back after it? Does she? Yeah, probably. Does she win the round? Who knows? But you know, you're right. If Peter had just come up and made a run down the track, he certainly had a shot at it. But, you know, right place, right time. And, she wasn't definitely wasn't killing him with performance the first couple of rounds, I'd say. But, it was going her way, and that's basically all there is to it.
Robert, the double step, I like to read into situations like that as an example, a learning tool, say. I'm sure Robert hates the fact, and he's probably burning and seething inside. Can't wait to get to Pacific Raceways to just redeem himself for that. But the way I look at it is, no matter how experienced, professional, and practiced you are, Robert, a champion racer, also an expert marksman, and as training has developed his reaction and remaining calm in that situation, if even he can have a glitch, It shows me how difficult it is. That's the way I choose to look at that.
Well, I would agree with that. You know, you're in a pressure situation. He's got a DSR car in the other lane, first round. You know you can't take this guy lightly. You've got to be up there. You've got to be amped. You've got to be ready to go. Now, I don't know if it was a particularly long tree, if there was something else but sometimes, and I've heard guys say it over and over and over again, sometimes your foot just decides to go before your brain tells it to. And, you know, trying to save that, trying to stop that is next to impossible. And, you know, it happens. I think if you're Robert, you can deal with the fact that, okay, it happened in Sonoma after I was locked in the countdown when we've got a car that's running good, one last week. Okay. You know, just chalk that up to pay attention, don't let it happen again, and move on. You know, I think, you know, Robert's obviously professional, and he's been doing this long enough that he understands that, okay, that's over, it's done, it's behind me, let's just get to the next race and get after it. You know, if that happens once we get into the countdown, or if it happens when we get into the last couple of races of the season when there's a lot on the line, it would be a whole lot more crucial than the way it happened. So, you know, you just take it for what it is and learn from it and move on.
A once-a-year or four-year glitch that happens every now and again. First round, Cruz Pedregon with that 407 was pretty impressive. At the final four, though, it was Courtney versus Matt Hagen. It was Alexis versus John Force. Talk about big personalities showing up in front of the Sonoma crowd. And John and Courtney are able to advance. They run each other in the final. And neither really got down the track clean, but Courtney with a 425.3 wins the race and becomes the winningest female funny car driver ever. Five races, it's not like a massive stat because it's only been four races, Ashley, before her, but she assumes the lead, and now she is the all-time leader in funny cars for lady racers.
Yes, and, you know, kind of like most of the other lady racers that I've talked to, you know, it's really not a big deal. You know, females winning in NHRA is such a common thing that, you know, it's almost not news anymore. And, you know, everybody you talk to, whether it's Erica, whether it's Alexis, whether it's Melanie Troxell, is, you know, I don't want to be the best female. I want to be the best racer. And, she certainly put herself in position. Apparently, though, the key to success in funny car this summer appears to be Jacob Hood, because Ashley's son was hanging out with Robert and the Auto Club guys last week, and they won. And this week, came out with Courtney for driver introductions and was hanging out with the Traxxas team, and they won. So it looks like there's going to be a bidding war for who gets to hang out with Jacob next weekend in Seattle. It'll be interesting to see who wins that.
Very cool. We're going to have Courtney on the show coming up in a little bit. And not to go too deep into the whole diversity argument, this is just something I'm thinking about. We talk about it a lot on the show, and I know that the racers, this is the last thing they really care about or want to talk about. But in the civilization that we are in and the society we are in, diversity and all of this, it shows that a sport is healthy. Get this, Alan. Antron wins Chicago. Antron wins Norwalk. J.R. Todd wins Bandimere. Khaled Al-Belushi wins Sonoma. Does it matter, obviously, but a string of victories that demonstrate NHRA's absolute diversity better than this one?
You know, in the modern era, I can't think of one off the top of my head. But, you know, again, it's just not news anymore, because it's been proven that, you know, drag racing doesn't care what your ethnicity is. It doesn't care if you're male or female. It doesn't care anything. Just, you know, can you drive the car? And that's, you know, I think it's terrific that my sport has so much diversity, but I really think that it's just gotten a point that it's a non-news story. You know, if someone with, you know, a different race or ethnicity was to win a NASCAR race, you know, they'd be trumpeting it from the tallest buildings, and everybody that follows drag racing would be going, who cares? I mean, it, you know, it doesn't make any difference. We're not out here to find out, you know, who the fastest, African-American is, or who the fastest female is, or we're find out who the best driver is and who's got the best car, and we do that week after week and don't even pay attention to the rest of the stuff. The rest of the stuff, I think, is just a distraction.
It is, and yet NASCAR is trumpeting their successes in that arena. And
because they've never had it before.
And bringing in money, though. There's corporations that are like, wow, you know, this is a really great diverse thing, and look how they're it's almost like they are being rewarded for being behind. That's what's annoying.
Well, you know, and I don't know enough about the business stuff over there as far as, you know, the bringing in money. You know, obviously Danica has got a terrific relationship with her marketing partners that are going to follow her basically with whatever she wants to do. But other than that, I don't see a whole lot of, you know, Joe and Allen Corporation that's never had an interest in NASCAR going, oh, hey, they have females over there. Let's go spend our money there now. I really don't see a whole lot of that. You know, maybe there's something going on that I'm not aware of, but I just, you know, I'm a drag racer, and in drag racing it's a non-issue, so just don't pay attention to it.
Very interesting. And, of course, Khaled Al-Balushi and Sean Langdon in the final round, and it wasn't long ago, I guess Sean winning out there in Bristol, but there was a little talk, Jason McCullough, even on the broadcast, that they had gotten a little lost. And it wasn't a dominating day necessarily. Khaled did have a very, very strong run in the first round of racing with that 3.775. That was very, very strong. But is able to go on to victory, taking out Billy Torrance and Clay. Clay, who got by Brittany Force in the first round, then Richie Crampton, and then his teammate ultimately in the final round.
Yeah, great day, obviously, for Allanabi and for Alan Johnson. You mentioned just down the road from his home in Santa Maria, California, kind of a home racetrack for him. They debuted a brand new car for Langdon this weekend, and it took him a couple of runs to get a handle on it. They didn't go anywhere, didn't test, didn't make, you know, any hits before they got to the track. So it took him a couple of runs to figure out where the sweet spot was, and then after that, seemed like it was fine. It was an interesting day, because even though it certainly wasn't hot enough that the fans were uncomfortable. It was bright sunny skies, no cloud cover. You know, some of the guys were having issues negotiating a little further down track. A lot of the cars would get to, you know, 500, 600, 700 feet and then start hazing the tires through the top end, and that was just something that you had to deal with. But Alan and his team at Allanabi did it better than anybody else, and ends up with a dream scenario, even though you don't dream about qualifying 8 and 10. You know, that puts you on opposite sides of the ladders, and then anything can happen on Sunday, and it all went all in obvious way this time.
Big international victory as drag racing continues to spread its wings around the globe. Now pro stock, Shane Gray, number one qualifier, earned himself a bye run in the first round, but come final round, it was V Gaines, V getting going with the Dodge Dart, and Jason Line, Jason able to pick up the victory.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting talking to Jason in the press room and listening to his take on the way everything went, because he was beating himself up pretty good. You know, one particular run, he did muff a burnout. He said that he wasn't hitting his shift points. He just felt like he was pretty much out of sync all weekend, but it proved the point that, you know, when it's your day, it's your day. He certainly had a good car, not necessarily the best car, and did an okay job with it, not a great job. If I tell you, and I'm sitting here looking at it now, if I told you that the guy's average reaction time for four rounds was going to be about, 0.5, would you think that would win in pro stock?
No.
But, you know, he got away with it. And it's, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. He was good. He wasn't great. But he was in the right place at the right time and got some good. along the way. And hey, as long as your scoreboard keeps lighting up, you just go back and reload and come back and try it again.
Birthday weekend.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, so was Khaled Al-Balushi. It was his birthday on Sunday. So, yeah, apparently Jason and Belushi have something going on that that nobody realized, because you know they both won last in Pomona, and so you know, when Jason wins, that's a good sign for Belushi and or vice versa.
Very interesting little sub stat right there for all you gamblers out there. I don't know how you could play that trend, but it's something to look out for the remainder of the year. Alan, what was it like, Erica, not being there? First race, not showing up, the elite performance guys deciding to skip this race and the next up at Pacific Raceways. They have their reasons. Their reasons are their own, and, you know, who knows how it's all going to work out. But debates can be made. We're going to speak with John Ramsey from Pacific Raceways. And I can imagine there were fans that would have loved to have seen Erica this weekend that didn't get to see her.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. There were a number of people asking, you know, where she was, what was going on, you know, why she wasn't there. You know, we talked about that last week pretty extensively about what the reasons are and their reasoning behind it. Without having a primary sponsor, then you've got to, you know, pay attention to what you do, where you spend, and you know, would they have liked to be there? Absolutely. Do they want to be there? Absolutely. Do they absolutely have to be there? No. With, you know, the lead they have in the points, they're locked into the countdown. With Alan going out early, it's going to be, I haven't done the math, but I don't believe they can be knocked out of the first place. They're coming back, planning to come back and hit the trail again at Brainerd. So, you know, you make the business decision. You know, the old story about these cars don't run on gasoline, they run on money is a fact. And, you know, if you are Richard Freeman in Elite Motorsports, who is spending a ton of your own money, they do get, you know, some help from you know, some associate sponsors, but they don't have a Summit Racing equipment, a Castrol, so that they have to answer to. You know, you look at the contracts for the major sponsors, whether it's a, you know, whether it's a Castrol, whether it's a Summit, whether it's a U.S. Army, whether it's a whoever, and you're contractually obligated to run all of the events. Well, if you don't have that major sponsor, then you don't have that contractual obligation. And if you sit down and go, hey, it's costing X dollars every week when we go out, and, you know, whatever the figure is, I could guess, but I'm not going to. But, you know, running the truck and trailer, buying the plane tickets, doing the hotel rooms, wear and tear on the car, the tires, the stuff, all the things that go along with it, and you go, okay, if we are number one in the points and we're locked into the countdown, is this an opportunity where we could save some of that money, give us a chance to do some more R&D, do some other stuff? And from a strictly business standpoint, does it make sense? And they obviously have decided that it did make sense. So there you have it. I think they'll be, you know, their people will be fresh, their parts and everything will be fresh, and they will really be ready to hit the ground with the guns blazing when it comes countdown time, because they have taken a little bit of a break that some of the other teams didn't. You know, will that play out? I guess we'll just have to see. But, you know, remember the Triple Crown. When California Chrome wins the first two, and a guy that didn't run the first two comes in and wins the third one. Now, well, that's not fair. He was rested. He was training. He hasn't been out here busting butt with the rest of us. Okay. But he won. And, you know, that's the ultimate bottom line. What's your best chance of winning the championship or winning what's important to you? And if that means you sit out a race or two in the middle of the season, then you do.
Do you think, and I'm going to explore this a little more later, do you think that should be discouraged in the rule book by offering a perfect attendance bonus of something to the teams that choose to make the investment to go to every race? I'm not talking about something that would be like draconian, like 500 points, but something to encourage perfect attendance?
You know, I really don't. I think that, you know, you would end up with some serious unintended consequences. If there was a rule like that in place, then I think for all intents and purposes, Greg Anderson would have no chance. Is that what you want? Or are you going to say, well, that's different. You know, it was a medical thing. Okay, so if Erica calls in sick, is that a medical thing? You know, I think that the rules are in place. Everybody knows what you need to do. And, you know, you have to decide what's best for you and your team and what's the best way to go about it. draw the line? If Joe and Alan's race team, the hauler gets into a highway accident and wrecks the race car so we don't make it to Bristol, are you going to disqualify me from the playoffs because of that? I mean, that, you know, I don't think that's something you want to do. I think that that would have unintended consequences that would just go on and on and on. And I think, you know, everybody knows what the rules are. Everybody's playing by the rules. And, you know, the fix for the situation, which I'm just stunned it hasn't happened as of yet, is corporate America to realize that this is an attractive, well-spoken young lady with a huge fan following that has a lot of on-track success. Why doesn't somebody have her under contract, at which point she would then be obligated to go to all the races? And it boggles the mind that, you know, somebody hasn't picked up on her and that team.
That is the real answer. At the end of it all, that's why Alan Reinhart leads off the show, folks, because that is the wisdom of this moment here, is that what is going on, that Erica Ender Stevens, a winning, fresh brand, that is a great personality who is in a fast car. How is it that they are at this point in the season and self-sponsored? What's going on? Then that's, I do not have the answers. It's very confusing.
Yeah, it really, like I said, it boggles the mind. I know that I've talked to Richard Freeman a couple of times, the team owner for Elite, and he said that, you know, they'll talk to anybody. If you've got $10 to invest or $10 million, they're willing to have a conversation and see if they can, you know, make something work. And I don't think that they're looking for, you know, $5 million to run the car every year. If somebody wanted to spend that, they'd certainly put together a program for you. But that's not, you know, the buy-in isn't that high to get involved with, you know, a very professional team. And you said a great spokesperson and somebody whose on-track performance has been basically better than anybody else out there this year, no question. So, it just really is stunning and surprising that they haven't been able to put something together.
Totally agreed. Now, Pro Stock Motorcycle, the Miramonte Records Pro Bike Battle, the first time in a long time that the bikes have had a specialty race to make a little extra cash. Of course, Screaming Eagle, Vance and Hines, Harley Davidson, Andrew Hines wins over Scotty Polachek. And then in the actual Sonoma Nationals, Eddie Krawick goes on to victory. I got to say, though, big attaboy, tip of the cap, whatever you want to call it, to Jerry Savoie, who had to leave Denver to go. Basically, it was an emergency with alligator eggs, some weather going, and he had to just drop everything and leave. Comes back to Sonoma, and with a blazing low ET, 681, quickest ever by a Suzuki, goes to the final round. Red lights to Eddie. Eddie wins.
Yeah, I don't think there was a whole lot of question that the sentimental favorite and most of the crowd was pulling for Jerry. That's going to be the story everybody remembers from this race, not who won the first battle or not that Eddie won the race, but the performance of that particular Suzuki and that team, just qualifying number one for the first time ever. You mentioned, you know, low ET, the world for a Suzuki, and I think they've got the top four now, I believe. I'd have to go back and double check. But the bike was just ripping. I mean, all the way where he got into the final, had lane choice, and then whether it was a case of nerves, whether it was whatever, ended up lighting the red bulb. But, you know, I talk to the Vance and Hines guys pretty regularly. You know, they do the engines for a number of the Suzuki guys, including Jerry Savoie. And Eddie has said for most of the season that the Suzuki guys have got enough power to basically outrun everybody. It's just a matter of getting it figured out. You know, it's not just about who's got the most power. We've seen it in Pro Stock over and over and over again. You know, you've got to get the combination. And, you know, buying an engine from a guy is not the same as having him be your crew chief and your tuner and doing the rest of the stuff. You know, the conversation actually came up on Sunday after the race was over between a few people, and it brought to mind the old Pro Stock deal, which is the carb to pan thing. You know, if you're renting engines from me and I'm outrunning you, then obviously the thought is going to be that the engine I'm leasing you isn't as good as the engine that I'm racing. So we get together on Monday. You go make a run, you go 665. I make a run, I go 658. We come back to the pits and we pull the motors out from carbs to pan and swap them. Now you put one in your car and you go out and you run 665 again. I take your motor, put it in my car, I go out and run 658 again. At this point, you know the engine's not the problem. And it's not my responsibility to tune your car. All I'm
Yes, exactly. The Pro Stock motorcycles are done until the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, which is right around the corner. Headed to Pacific Raceways this weekend, a coveted market, Seattle market, the facility. We're going to speak with John Ramsey, the general manager. They are WFO listeners out there while they're working on the track facility, which I came to find out that very recently, and we invited him on the show. He's been in the position now for a couple of years, and they are trying to get this facility to where it needs to be in terms of amenities and such. The character of the facility, though, you often talk about how it is very unique and someplace that people would like to go.
It's just, it's very scenic. You know, the pits and the cars in amongst the pine trees and, you know, all the things that the Northwest is known for. For years, when the previous management had the track, you know, every year it was rumored that whether it was going to be the environmental lobby or the neighbors or the, but the track was going to go away. It was going to go away. It was going to go away, which obviously, you know, stunted investment in the property. You know, if you own a business and every year you're threatened to be bought out, thrown off your property, could run out of town, you know, are you going to build new big fancy shiny stuff? And so the previous management didn't. When the Fiorito family came in and bought it, and my understanding is that they have a long-term plan and that, you know, working with the environmental people and the neighbors and that they believe they're going to be there for a long time, so now they're starting to make the investment. You know, not everybody is a Bruton Smith where you just wave your magic wand and go, okay, let's spend $300 million and make this happen. You know, it takes time and investment over time. We've seen huge improvements, you know, every time we've been there for the last few years. And looking forward to seeing what they do this year. But it's a great facility. The performance numbers, if the weather is even close to decent, with all the pine trees, the oxygen content is high, the racetrack itself will hold pretty much whatever you want to throw at it. And it's usually a performance-dictated race, not a tuner's race or not a tip tour's race.
Very, very cool. Looking forward to it, watching and listening on to the NHRA stream, and obviously in a couple weeks then heading to Brainerd. Alan, great job as usual. Now, real quick, I did get an email from one of our listeners who went to the Frank Hawley Drag Racing School and did the Dragster Adventure, but in that email, his email testimonial, so to speak, he also wanted to say hello to you. Great job at Norwalk. His wife and he were there on Friday and Sunday and had a great time, and he sent us a bacon recipe.
Right on. Well, you're going to share the bacon recipe, or are you going to just wait and bring it to me at Brainerd?
I'm going to share it with you right now. Since they seem to be slacking off, another bacon recipe, smoked chicken breast wrapped in bacon and stuffed with asparagus, just lost me there, and provolone cheese. The chicken stays real juicy. This is one is starting to turn into my most requested smoked dinner, says Dan from Ohio. Everything except for the asparagus I'm down with.
Oh, see, I'm a big asparagus guy. That sounds to me like perfect.
Really?
Yeah.
The chicken.
Yeah, save that or send it to me or do something, because that's something I might. You know, my idea of cooking is, you know, I can boil water and call it soup, but that's something I might take a swing at, because I think everything on that list sounds good to me.
Yeah, well, maybe Dan will send us a more detailed version, because this is kind of just a description as far as what you do with what for how long. That is a different story. But it's cool to see that Dan is still participating with our bacon recipes. So very good. Alan, great job as usual. Have fun on your ride. Of course, stay safe. And very much looking forward to seeing how it goes, the final race of the Western Swing.
I'm looking forward to it as well. A couple of other cap tips. Sean Langdon's dad, Chad, won in Supercomp. Would have been obviously a big day if his son would have been able to close the deal in Top Fuel. But you know, Chad Langdon, who obviously introduced Sean to racing at a young age, has been doing it a long time. Last national event win was 1984, so that was huge. Dan Fletcher got into two final rounds, one in stock, came up a little bit short to Alan Ellis in the comp eliminator final, but Alan was running clean, and of course he's the world champion, and that's just a bad, fast race car. But Wells had a couple of first-timers and just a fun event from top to bottom that ended with the annual Eric Medlin Ice Cream Social. So anytime you get to watch drag racing all day and then finish the day with a bowl of ice cream is not a bad day in my book.
How many wins is that now for Fletcher?
89.
Wow, so the next one is the 90th.
Yeah, and the next person that he will pass, assuming that he keeps winning, would be Warren Johnson.
Wow. Just the idea of it is outrageous. Wow. Congratulations to Dan Fletcher. And just to think that he could have gotten 89 and 90 in the same day, that's pretty impressive as well. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much. Again, enjoy your ride and stay safe out there.
All right, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart, joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. How about that? Every class, all the stuff behind the scenes, and if you're a new listener to WFO, well, we've got the winners coming up. That's what we do. That's the hook. The Mellow Yellow Series winners. Every week after they win, they come on the show to talk about the race, what's going on behind the scenes, and whatever other nonsense that I come up with. So stick around. We've got Courtney Force. We've got Khaled Al-Balushi. We've got Jason Line. We've got Eddie Krawick. We've got John Ramsey. He's the general manager of Pacific Raceways. And Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus. All on this show. So it's going to be a great one. It's going to be a long one. You're going to have lots of entertainment. This is definitely going to get you through your work week. But get this. One of our big sponsors here at WFO Radio is Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. And right around this time, this is where I would normally implore you to open a browser and go to frankhawley.com and check out the cool things that they have, whether you want your super gas or your super comp license, or maybe you have got a corporate event and you want to build the team. You could go do the dragster adventure. Maybe something like that is on your mind, and certainly we would encourage you to do that, because Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School has been around a long time doing some great things. But instead of doing that, instead of imploring you to give them a call at 866-480-7223 and ask them more about what they've got going on, including the Dragster Adventure in Reading, Pennsylvania on September 5th. That's right, Reading, Pennsylvania, September 5th Dragster Adventure. Instead of doing that, I instead will read an email from Dan. Joe and Alan, just a quick testimonial for the Frank Hawley School. I just got home from the Dragster Adventure Challenge at Norwalk, and I have to say it was one of the greatest presents I ever gave myself. For never driving a dragster, the staff made sure that I not only knew what I was doing, but also made sure I was comfortable prior to making any runs. Frank is one of the most laid-back people I have ever been around and seemed to enjoy what he was doing almost as much as the rest of us. For anyone on the fence, just do it. You will be glad you did, says Dan from Ohio, who also sent us those bacon recipes. And so I think it is great that the WFO Radio listeners are not only out there taking in the Dragster Adventure, doing it and getting the experience, but also sending testimonial emails to us in response. Very exciting, and I could tell the listeners all day long, you should do it, you should do it, you'll love it, it's awesome, it's something that you really can't get this experience anywhere else. But when other listeners start to do it and send very positive emails like this one, I think that takes it to another level. So, Dan, thank you very much. Folks, go to frankhawley.com to find out more. Give him a call, 866-480-7223. Ask about the Dragster Adventure. This is the kind of thing that it should go on your bucket list if you're a drag racing fan. It will open your eyes to the whole experience, what's going on in the track. You will have a great day. It will be a lot of fun, and you will remember it for a lifetime. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, frankhawley.com. We'll be back with Courtney Force right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found and Redline Motor Oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, everybody. The summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and welcome back to another episode, the Sonoma Nationals Winners Edition. And we're going to get right into it with the drivers, but if you are a first-time WFO Radio listener and you love NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, well, this is the place every week. You hear the winners after every national event, and we have got the funny car winner up first. Courtney Force joins us now. Courtney, welcome back to WFO.
Hey, thank you for having me back.
Well, thank you for winning another race. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
The winningest female funny car driver of all time. I know it's five wins, but someone's got to be the leader. You are that person. When they told you about that, or when that came up, that this was going to happen, what did you think about that milestone?
You know, I didn't even know that I was, I guess, that close to reaching that milestone. I think I was more focused on the fact that, I guess, where my sister Ashley was, on the list, I was thinking, well, she's got four wins, and that was always kind of my goal throughout my career. I'm like, I've at least got to get four wins. Just because, you know, watching Ashley and trying to follow in her footsteps, she's accomplished so much. And, you know, I look up to her as, you know, a sister and a funny car driver. So that was always my goal, was reaching at least four and maybe passing her with a fifth, but not realizing that that would make me the winningest female in funny car history, which was definitely a bonus when they told me in the media center after my win last night.
I think that points out, though, how the milestone is still pretty fresh. Of course, there's Shirley Muldowney for so many years, Angel Sampe, Angel, and many other women that contributed to that 100 wins that we talked about not long ago. But in terms of in funny car, sustained success, that's relatively new.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to be on that list and, you know, among other funny car drivers. And it's cool. I mean, it's awesome that, you know, I've reached it because of my team and just not only my Traxxas team, but all of, you know, everyone at JFR. I mean, everyone has been so great, you know, teaching me, you know, in this funny car, being patient with me, you know, especially my dad. I've learned so much from him. You know, it's definitely helped. And it's just been a lot of fun. It's been great. But I mean, as a driver, I'm just looking to continue to keep winning. It's great to reach that goal as a female in Funny Car, but, you know, I'm definitely looking for, you know, bigger and better things and just hope to keep pushing forward and winning more.
Absolutely. And as I watch you, it's very interesting. A guy like your dad has been great for as long as so many people can remember. I know he came up through the ranks in a very tough manner, but he achieved success and was able to sustain it at a very high level till right now. Watching you start out as a rookie and kind of learn from scratch, you're changing. I don't even know if you are aware the swagger you put out, the way you pop out of the car. You look like a cagey veteran now. You're tough on yourself for things that a year ago you were still just learning. So it's very interesting to watch that.
Yeah, it's definitely been a fun road and process. I mean, really, this goal started back when I was 16 years old and starting off in the Supercomp Dragster ranks and, you know, working my way up through Top Alcohol Dragster, getting a win in that field. And now just being in Funny Car, I mean, I've just had such an amazing time learning from drivers like, you know, my dad, my sister Ashley, Robert Height, Mike Neff, you know, and even talking to Eric back, you know, when I was younger. I mean, it's just been an amazing road, and it's just cool to kind of reach, you know, this goal of, you know, winning races. And it's always extra special when you get to beat Dad in the process. I mean, I've learned so much from him and watched him race since I was a kid. It's anytime I match up against him, or any Funny Car driver for that matter, it's always still a little surreal just because it's been such a big childhood dream of mine.
Yeah, we got to get into that. Let's do round by round because number one qualifier, you and Brittany together, there's just so many different angles to that story. The two sisters, the four sisters, daughters of John Force, you know, new into the sport, forging their own way, both number one qualifier. That has got to be really cool for you.
It was awesome. I mean, being able to share that with my sister Brittany again this season, you know, it was such a big deal back in Topeka when we both became number one qualifier. And it's just kind of cool to think that, you know, I've been able to reach that with her two times so far this season. And then I've actually been able to go off and win when I qualify number one with her both times. So it's just been, I mean, it's been such an amazing road. I love being out here with Brittany, and she's done such a great job in the top fuel car. But, yeah, I mean, it was cool having our Traxxas team go out there. We ran that 404, 319 miles an hour. But, you know, like I had said in the media center at the end of the day, I'm like, you know, we were able to get this car running good when the track had cooled off. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of people can get the car running good. And I said, you know, the true champion is going to be who can get this car down there on race day. And technically, we didn't get down there every time on race day. We really just kind of got lucky and were able to take it round by round. But we were able to get the win light every time and take home that win.
Khaled Al-Balushi in Top Fuel is going to be on the show in a little bit. Kind of the same thing, but there are certain races that it's drag racing. It's just about getting from here to there first. How you do it doesn't matter, and you are better than all your opponents. Let's talk about the round by round. Peter Russo could not answer the call in the first round, broke on the starting line. You started to break the tires loose and jumped off it. It seemed like, did you guys make an adjustment, like go for it in that run, or is that what would have happened had Peter run the car?
I think that would have happened if he would have run the car. I mean, honestly, I went up to him before that race and wished him luck, told him be safe out there, let's have fun. And it was unfortunate they weren't able to run it. But, you know, for my Traxxas team, we went out there, and the second I felt that thing smoke the tires, I'm in my car just shaking my head going, that was pure luck. I mean, really it was for us. We probably shouldn't have gotten that win, and you know, Russo probably would have taken it, but it was a lucky day for us in that round one, and we were able to move on to the next one.
It just says something about you can be the number one qualifier, but you still got to do it. And Brittany experienced that in the Top Fuel side of thing, and it's been happening all year long to number one qualifiers in all classes.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy road. Yeah, I mean, normally people say it's kind of unlucky to be number one qualifier, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't go so well on race day, but so far it's been all right for us in the funny car class, but, you know, I can't complain. I mean, the two times on the this season, you know, that I was number one qualifier, I think, of the three, I was able to get the win. So, but for sure yesterday, I mean, definitely got lucky, got the car down there each run, and we're able to get away with it. I mean, we didn't have lane choice, I don't think, any round either until the final against my dad. And we'd been winning in the lane that was the lane nobody was really choosing, in that left lane. And then, you know, we pulled up, had lane choice, and thought, well, dad knows how to run in the right lane. We might as well switch and take that right lane from him. And, you know, we both went down there, and I could see him out my window. And both of us struggled to get down, but luckily I was able to nose him and turn on the wind light in the final.
Very, very cool stuff. You ran Bob Tasca, you got by him. You ran Matt Hagen, you got by him. And you're setting up for the final round against your dad. Let's go a little deeper into it, because you have mentioned several times that really gets you going. You've already got the family win, so to speak, the win for the sponsors and Ford. You've made the final round, but at that point, something else takes over, a little father-daughter thing where you want to obviously win for yourself, but against your dad, something that not a lot of people have had great success doing. He's been the best the whole time. So tell me a little bit about that feeling. Like, where does it come from and what motivates you?
I mean, honestly, as a kid, I mean, it's probably just that thing that kind of burns in you as a, you know, a childhood memory. I mean, just watching my dad race, like I said, it's so surreal to be in the lane next to him to this day, that I think that's what kind of gives me that extra fire and excitement. And I totally feel like, you know, a little kid again, but being in the race car that, you know, I pictured being in ever since I was in the stands watching him. So it is a little crazy, and I think that's where my motivation comes from when I go up to race him. You know that no matter what, one of us is going to be in the winner's circle, and that kind of lays some pressure off of both of us. And you go up there, you don't want to screw up and do anything stupid. So you know, I'm focused the whole time, just trying to get the car straight down the center of the groove and get it to the other end and just holding on. I think mine had a hole out. It was just trying to truck down there, but we got away with it. We got lucky again yesterday. I swear it was just round by round. We got pretty lucky, but then again, I mean, a lot of people were struggling in the heat, and we managed to get by and get it down there all right on each run. So you know what, it was a good day for us. But yeah, I mean, anytime I can beat my dad, it's always a little bit extra, you know, satisfaction going up against him and turning on that wind light.
You know, after the win, it was an emotional moment, thinking about Eric Medlin. And I'm thinking about every one of your wins recently happen upon these emotional moments. Things are happening where we're really getting to see you experience heavy things happening as you are winning races. And to win in Sonoma, it just looked like there was a lot more going on than just, hey, I won this particular race.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one really hit me like a freight train. I mean, I got down to the other end. Obviously, I was so excited to get that wind light. And, I mean, the second I started talking about Eric and, you know, those memories kind of start flooding through your mind, I'm not really sure what happened. I was a little embarrassed that, again, I'm, you know, tearing up in an interview and getting all choked up. But, I mean, honestly, it really does hold a special place in my heart. I mean, I watch Eric win there, and every year that I go there, I see, you know, his family. You know, obviously we work with John Medlin, but, you know, his mom, Mimi Medlin, she's out there, and they're always serving ice cream, doing the ice cream social. You know, I did the Eric Medlin dinner just, you know, two nights before that, before getting my win there in Sonoma. And, you know, I did it with my sisters and a lot of other drivers out in the NHRA. We went up on stage and did a Q&A and got to tell stories about Eric Medlin and memories that we have with him. And me and my sisters talked about it the whole way home. So, you know, there was a lot of things going through my head that whole weekend. I mean, you really couldn't, it wasn't just something that, you know, popped up in my head. I mean, it was going all weekend long. You know, you're constantly, anytime that I'm racing in Sonoma, you know, I'm always thinking about Eric and you know, it's tough, you know, seeing his family out there, everyone from Oakdale, California. My sister Ashley's actually made a stop over in Oakdale today, and is hanging out over there with all those guys. So it's, you know, it was definitely a special win for me. It was a big deal for me, and getting to share the winner's circle with his family and his friends from Oakdale definitely meant a lot.
I liked your description of what it's like to drive a funny car with losing a cylinder. I thought that was really good on TV.
Oh, I thought about that after I walked away, and I went, did I just give like a full description? I could only really describe it by kind of the feeling, but yeah, I mean, it's hard to describe. It's just, you kind of have to show it, I guess.
Well, I think it was cool because you're still going 300 miles per hour or close to it. And so to the normal human being, it's still wildly fast and out of control, but to you, it feels sluggish. You're describing a laboring, sluggish car that is still going 100 miles an hour faster than anybody ever gets to go, ever.
I know. It sounds a little weird when you kind of take a step back and look at it, but it really does. I mean, the more and more times you make passes in one of these funny cars, they do go over 320 miles an hour in just 4 seconds, but it slows down every time you get in the car, and honestly, when you're used to doing the, you know, over 300 mile an hour runs, and then you drop a hole, and it's pulling you sideways, and you're just fighting and counter-steering it back to keep it into the center of the group, and you just can feel it slowing down, and you're just hoping you're just going to get past that line before the other guy. That's when it does feel slow, because you know you're not trucking, getting, you know, a good pass out of it. It's just trying to get down there to the end and turn on the wind light.
Currently fourth in the point standings, Robert and John have made the countdown. Ron Capps will most likely be next, and then you. It is I will call it a foregone conclusion. You will definitely make the countdown. Where do you feel like you are as a driver, and what would you like to get better at? From the outside appearance, it looks like you're advancing extremely rapidly, but whenever I talk to someone in one of these cars, even with many, many years of experience, they say there's still things happening that are happening for the first time. So I don't imagine you ever get totally comfortable, but you look like you've gotten past that first big learning phase very, very well. You're winning races. What would you like to make yourself better at from this point forward? What are you focusing on to try to take the next big step, so that Courtney is not just the winningest funny car driver, but Courtney is also a champion funny car driver?
Well, I think that's always been the ultimate goal. I mean, when you're coming out here in the funny car category, yeah, it is. You want to get out, you want to do well, you're always learning in the car, and you want to win races. But, you know, the ultimate goal is to win championships, and that's definitely what we're trying to do here. I mean, it's every time I get in the car, it's going to throw something new at me no matter what. You know, and you just try to learn as quickly as possible and fix it on the next time.
What did you think when Robert red-lighted? And the reason I ask that is because, to me, it's an illustration how hard this is, that even the guys that are machine-like and robotic in the way they handle it, a guy like Robert Height, you would never think would have a mental glitch, but he did. You, as a younger driver, what kind of lesson do you take out of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're only human. I mean, people mess up sometimes. I mean, I've done it far more times than Robert has, but, you know, Robert is one of the best levers out here for sure. There's no doubt about that. Like you said, he's robotic. He can just have a good light all day long and through qualifying, through race day, and it's impressive, and it definitely is something that I look up to. I mean, I'm always comparing my stuff over to Robert's because he does such an excellent job. And, you know, you see that happen and you just think, well, I mean, things happen. I mean, people mess up. I mean, you have your pure focus on, and sometimes your foot is just ready to leave, and sometimes you really just, you can't stop it as a driver. Sometimes there's a light, there's a flicker, there's something that gives you a little distraction, and sometimes that just makes your body leave. But, I mean, it's pretty amazing. You know, people look at it and it just looks like a Christmas tree, and, you know, amber lights, you pre-stage, the amber bulbs come on, but when you're so hopped up, your adrenaline's through the roof, I mean, you can definitely have a slip up, and I doubt you're ever going to see him do that again, but, you know, he's a great driver, and honestly, I was surprised, but, I mean, it happens. I mean, he's one of the best levers out here, so I'm sure it just was a little bit of a glitch.
All credit to Robert. I just I love using the best drivers when they do run into trouble as an example of how difficult it is to be under the you cannot make any mistakes type pressure at all times. Courtney, now you had some cool experiences recently. Went out to the ESPYs, saw you on that show, sitting in the crowd. What was that like?
It was so much fun. It was great being able to go to the ESPYs just to support my dad and be there. I mean, it was cool watching him, and the fact that he was nominated, I kept telling him, was just a huge deal in itself. I know he was bummed that he didn't get the ESPY, but it was just a lot of fun being there with my family, walking the red carpet, you know, doing the interviews and talking to people. But it was just cool seeing all the different athletes, both male and female, you know, sitting there and watching the show. It was just cool seeing everyone get their awards, do their speeches, and just being a part of it. I mean, it was so cool, and I was just really proud of my dad. I'm really bummed out because, you know, he has won 16 championships in NHRA, and I feel like with 140 wins under his belt, I figured it was bound for him to win an ESPY one of these days, but it hasn't happened yet, and you know what, I still have faith that maybe he can get it next year.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is, it's on the radar now. From what I gather here, that you were voted one of the best dressed athletes at the ESPYs on USA Today.
Yeah, actually, I was. I'm not even sure how, but it was just cool, you know, being a part of it, being there for my dad, and finally get to put on a dress and a heels. I found the outfit like 2 days before at Nordstrom's and was like, I have no idea what people wear to the ESPYs. I've never done this before, but you know, you kind of think you're going to be in the background and hanging out with dad and just be there to support him. And then for me to come up on some website and people are telling me I was nominated to be best dressed or something, it was cool. I mean, it was definitely cool to be recognized amongst, you know, males and females, male and female athletes, especially ones that were nominated for ESPYs. And I was just kind of there as a, you know, a spectator, and it was kind of cool to be a part of it. It was definitely an honor, and actually my boyfriend Graham was nominated for it too. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, I got him here. Definitely, I got to say, you look better than he did. But both very, both very sharp. I am a very big proponent of the Nordstrom. I very much enjoy it. I think though that if we all talk, because we probably got some guys out there saying, "Why are we talking about this nonsense? ESPYs and clothes and whatnot." you know, hardcore race heads, but if we're talking about promoting the sport of drag racing to a new, bigger, more populous audience, what are we talking about? We're talking about people that understand competition, and that means they probably like the NFL, they probably like Major League Baseball or the NBA. And the fact that you're someplace where Kevin Durant and all those guys are, and you carry the sport of drag racing wherever you go, I think that's big.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was cool. I mean, once you walk the red carpet, there's a ton of photographers, there's a ton of media. I mean, the red carpet was like a mile long. I mean, you're doing interviews left and right. I was on E! News with my dad, and with my mom, we all were doing interviews right and left for so many different, you know, huge networks that, you know, you wouldn't typically get, you know, just after winning a race. So we definitely were out of our element, but yeah, like you said, that's not really an audience we get to reach, you know, every day of the year just by, you know, being on ESPN2, and being, you know, there for the NHRA races. But I definitely think it's cool to kind of go out of the box a little bit, do something different and take the NHRA name with us, and try to represent it as well as we can and let people know that, you know, there's this man is nominated for an ESPY. You know, he's 65 and he's still winning championships and winning races. And although it was just a nomination, I mean, it's unbelievable how many people he was able to talk to through the media and let them know what he does for a living. And a lot of them, you know, were surprised, hadn't heard of drag racing, didn't know we went over 320 miles an hour and got to do interviews with me as well. And you know, when they put me up on that website and on USA Today for being nominated for Best Dressed, I was labeled NHRA drag racer and, you know, NHRA funny car driver. So right there is just another media outlet that we just got NHRA out to as well as my name.
Absolutely. And that having been said, as someone, I always think of you and your sister and any person that is under 30 who is making drag racing their future, because there's a lot that you could be doing. Your sister could be a teacher. There's a lot that you guys could be doing, and you're choosing to invest your life in the sport of drag racing. And I know why, because your family, it's the family business, so to speak. We're coming off three races of live TV, Epping, Chicago, and Denver. Norwalk was a great race. Sonoma looked like a great crowd. Bandimere, I was there at that one, and I thought it was spectacular. How do you think things are going at this phase here in 2014? You're running well. You're winning races. Your dad's running well, winning races. Competition level is high. Some things going on with live TV. What is your perception of where the sport is at the moment?
I think that 100% things are looking up, not just for me and you know, JFR or anything, just NHRA. I mean, our sport in general, I just see so many positive things that are coming race by race. The live TV thing, I think, is amazing for our sport. It's exciting for me, even when if I'm out first round and I get to be back and be a part of the action and get to, you know, see it live on TV, get to run up to the starting line, see the camera guys running around pit through, you know, pit by pit, interviewing different people. I mean, you get to be a part of the action, and you really do get to see all the excitement when it is live TV. And obviously they do a great job if it does have to be taped as well. But I mean, there's just a lot of different things that I think NHRA is doing that's really bringing a positive to the sport. And they're working hard. I mean, you know, I think it takes some time for sure. It's not going to happen overnight, but I can definitely see already that, you know, these guys are taking over. They're moving in the right direction. We've got a great marketing team with NHRA. And, you know, you can tell. I mean, I've worked with a lot of them, and they work hard and really try to get the sport out there. And I'm just there to go along for the ride and help in any way that I can.
Well, I think by winning a championship, that could be probably pretty good. That could help.
Yeah, that would definitely be nice. I'm working for it.
I know you are. Listen, Courtney, thank you so much for taking time with us here on WFO Radio. I appreciate it every time you guys win. So Robert can't get the sweep of the Western swing, but you guys can do the JFR sweep. Would that be cool?
Yeah, that's actually has already been in the back of my mind. I'm thinking one of us drivers hopefully can get it and just sweep it, you know, with JFR. I mean, I think that would be pretty awesome.
Do you realize how rapidly... It's taken me till right now to realize how rapidly the season is going by. The casual sit back and enjoy the races one by one all of a sudden is replaced by the U.S. Nationals, and the countdown are literally right around the corner. You guys will be racing for extremely valuable hardware, namely the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals and the NHRA Mellow Yellow Championship, literally in two more races.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast things have gone by. I mean, you know, our entire team, it's unbelievable. You know, everyone's just been shuffling around in points, and I was able to move up in points this past weekend and just fighting to get up there. I mean, everybody is, you know, this is the point where everyone's kind of stressing out, trying to make sure they're getting clinched into the top 10 for the countdown of the championship. And like you said, we've got two races left to do it, and, you know, this is the time you can't make mistakes. Robert, he's already clinched in. He's fine. He's well ahead of everybody. He got such a big jump on everyone, you know, early on in the season. But, you know, my dad's up there number two, and I'm trying to move and make my way up there. You know, it's just a matter of time. You know, you just got to work race by race. But it's crazy how fast it's flying by. And pretty soon we're hopefully all going to be battling out for the championship.
Well, it's going to be very fun to watch. Of course, we'll cover it here on WFO, and I will be out there at many of them. You're currently fourth, right in between Tommy Johnson and Ron Capps. That third place could mean a lot in terms of a championship. So good luck. Thank you for coming on the show and giving us the behind the scenes of your win. I love hearing you talk about what's going on behind the scenes and how you handle these situations, because your success, you know, going, you're trending upwards, put it that way. How's the Twitter going?
Hey, it's fun. It's always fun, you know, going on Twitter and posting stuff and try to give the behind-the-scenes look to all the fans. I mean, it's going pretty good so far.
Great. Courtney, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on WFO.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Courtney. Courtney Force with us here on WFO Radio, the winningest funny car driver, the winningest female funny car driver in NHRA history. And that's kind of... misnomer. It's a statistical fact, but she has 5 wins. I think Courtney wants to do something much bigger than that as time goes by. And I'm actually very eager to see how it all works out. She's going to be tough, but right now, championship favorites, you got to say, are the John Force Racing teammates, her father and Robert Height. Going to be very interesting to see how it all develops. And it is crunch time, headed to Seattle this weekend. All right, we still got a lot coming up here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. And all you listeners out there, I want to remind you, if you want some free WFO stickers, you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to Castello Media, WFO Radio, P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084. And I'll stuff some stickers in the envelope and send them back to you. I've been doing that for our listeners and getting a lot of envelopes from around the world, actually, as far as Australia. So if you're a WFO listener, you like the show, you want to represent, send us a self-addressed stamp envelope and I can turn it around in like 30 seconds and head it back your way. We got a lot coming up. Khaled Al-Balushi going to be on the show. We're going to talk Al-Anabi Racing, talk about Khaled's big win over his teammate, the reigning Mellow Yellow world champion, Sean Langdon. So we're going to speak with Khaled on the show. We're also going to speak with the general manager of Pacific Raceways, the place to race. Got a lot of WFO listeners up there. The next race on the Western Swing, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Northwest Nationals, a legendary facility going way back to the Bill Doner 64 funny car days. We're going to talk about that. Also on the show, we're going to hear from Jason Line, Pro Stock winner. We're going to see what Jason has to say about his big Summit Racing Equipment Camaro victory out there in Sonoma. It looked like a great crowd to me. It looked like a very, very strong crowd. And at the tail end of the show, Bobby Bennett from Comp Plus is going to come on, talk about a couple of things he's got going. And, of course, Eddie Krawick will be on the show. Eddie, friend of the show, comes on after his victories, and we always delve into multifaceted conversation about what's going on. So if you're a Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series fan, if you love NHRA, if that's you. I love NHRA. If you love NHRA, then I think you're in the right place. You're going to love this program. And I would suggest you follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well, because there is a whole community of WFO radio listeners out there. We get together at the races that I go to. My next race, Brainerd. Who's going to Brainerd? I'm going to be there. And it's going to be outrageous. Last time it was. I had a great time out there in the zoo, met a lot of new people, made a lot of friends. It's a constant nonstop tailgate. If you're going to be at Brainerd, let us know, because I will be there. I will be circulating on the on a golf cart or some sort of engine-powered machine of some sort. It's too far to walk. Bottom line, the zoo coming at you. But first, Seattle Pacific Raceways this coming weekend, the final race of the Western Swing. All right, when we come back, Khaled Al-Balushi going to join us. But first, I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Open a browser. I know, I say every spot starts with open a browser. But since a lot of people are sitting in front of their computers, it makes a lot of sense. You can either go to WFOradio.com and click the banner ad, which is a great way to do it, or just type in Rodax, R-O-D-A-K-S, coffeeandgrills.com. Either way, you're going to end up at Rodax Coffee and Barbecue Grills from Fort Worth, Texas. They've been in business since 1976, and they have got some really cool things going on. Marvin is a big drag racing fan, big drag racer down in Texas, enters barbecue contests all the time and has award-winning spice rubs. So if you want to spice up your barbecue on the weekends, it's summer, baby, you got to do it. You can get something from RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They got a whole bunch of different things, but their A26 rub is really the award winner. But not only that, but they roast their own custom blends of coffee. And right on the front page, they've got a new espresso blend called Bang the Blower. Drag racing theme, of course, and I enjoy it in the mornings and have been enjoying it until Marvin says, hey, can we make a WFO radio blend that is specific for the WFO audience? And I'm like, absolutely, do it. Just make sure it's hardcore. And sure enough, absolutely it is. So now I go back and forth between the Bang the Blower and the WFO radio blend. But he recently has sent me some of this Kopi Luwak, the kind of coffee that he sent out to Courtney Force not long ago after becoming the 100th win for women in the NHRA, which is some of the most exclusive, is that the best word, coffee on the planet. You can look it up, Kopi Luwak. They have coffee from around the world. So if you're a WFO radio listener and you want to start your day with a little blast of something WFO, go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Get yourself a bag of either Bang the Blow or, of course, the WFO radio blend. We want that to go well, right? We want the WFO radio blend to just go off the shelves like wildfire and start your day off right. But I have to say, the hot sauces are what is really getting usage throughout the day. I don't know if you're supposed to eat it with a spoon or not. All right, that's maybe an exaggeration, but it's going on everything from eggs in the morning to sandwiches at lunch to whatever goes on throughout the day. And Marvin's got it ready for retail. So if you've got a retail store and you want to order some Rodax hot sauce, he can set you up as well. Best thing to do, go to the website or give him a call. 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard him talking about you on WFO. I want you to send me some stuff. That's 817-924-6821. If you've got a race team, if you're cooking for a bunch of guys, this is definitely a way to set your next meal apart. 817-924-6821. That's Rodak, coffeeandgrills.com.
This is WFO Radio. The one, the only, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
You gotta keep on keeping on. It's top fuel drag racing going 330 miles an hour. You never know what can happen, so hang on and we're having fun.
WFORadio.com.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, following up the Sonoma Nationals, Race 2 of the Western Swing. and the sweep opportunities are gone. It is wild out there. It is tough, and it's time to talk with the Top Fuel winner. Joining us now, Khaled Al-Balushi. Khaled, welcome back to WFO. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, this is one of our best birthdays.
I can imagine. Winning Top Fuel at an NHRA Nationals is pretty cool. What about beating your teammate, though? The fact that it was an all-Alanabi final.
Yeah, this is nice, you know, to win with both Alanabi on the final, but sometimes not that much fun to beat your teammate, but the win is win, you know. Everybody's been looking for the trophy.
And you were able to secure that trophy, and more and more common now. Jason McCullough had said on the broadcast, and his dad was sitting in the booth, that you guys have been working on some things, and kind of you have the handle, and then you lose the handle. It just shows how tough it is out there.
Yeah, and especially in the summer when we are both smoke the tire, I smoke the tire and Sean smoke the tire. I've been talking back and forth with Jason, and he told me, you know why we smoke the tire? And before the final, he told me, Lucy, well, now we'll be fast, but we are going will not smoke the tire. I promise you, we are not going to smoke the tire. And he told me what he's going to do, and I feel our cars are going to smoke the tire. But, you know, our cars not that much been fast, but, you know, we have been going to make the car make sure we'll be down the track.
Getting from start to finish is a big part of this sport. You are obviously able to do it over the course of the day, four rounds. No easy races. Billy Torrance, those guys, a second car for the Capco team. 8 and 9 qualifier, that is always a tough race.
Yeah. And Billy's car has been working good, and also he's been in a good run for first round. He ran 385 or 6, you know, not that much bad. This has been good, you know. Oh, but we've been lucky. We run so fast in the first round. We run 377, and you know, we've been in good shape all week.
That 77 was a blockbuster run, low ET of the first round of racing, set you up in the second round against Clay Milliken, and Clay had just beaten Brittany, the number one qualifier. Being number one is not the place to be in 2014.
Yeah, you know, this is what it is, you know. Sometimes it's very tough. Sometimes you've been feeling, oh, you are good, you are in the top in the qualifying, two or three or something, you've been meeting some champion people, you know. Look, Sean Lydon, I think he's been 13 or something in the qualifying, but sometimes it's very tough, you know. You feel, oh, are you good? You are number one or two in the qualifying, but you've been checking that schedule, you find some champion people been waiting for you in number 14 or 13. Ben Stagnoff already been in the qualifying, but showing up on Sunday, he's been trying to approve everybody. We are on the show.
In the semis, you were able to get by Clay Milliken, and you were in an 87. Then in the semis, you had to go up against Richie Crampton, and you were able to beat him in a pedal fest. Now, I know that you pride yourself on your driving, and coming out of Pro Mod as a Pro Modified World Champion, you were excellent on the starting line. What are some of the challenges getting off the starting line with one of these Top Fuel machines?
With a Top Fuel, sometimes you feel you got a base car on the show or something. The car is not going 10 feet and start smoking the tail or something. Not about the fuel, sometimes the track, and sometimes now that different things been going on. And, you know, sometimes you've been lucky to catch it back with a pedal, and sometimes if you try your best, maybe for 7-8 times pedal the car, no way the car is going to hook up. But, you know, and this time you've been waiting for your luck, you know, to see what is another car going to do. Especially what happened with me in the similar, you know, when we were both smoking the tire and I pedaled the car one time and actually he pedaled the car and we have both been down the track, but you know, I've been lucky to win the race, to win the round.
Yeah, that was very close and could have gone either way at that point. That last little squirt you gave it was what got you over the stripe.
Yeah.
And then the semis against Sean, you with the 391 at 309, you did get down the track. He did smoke the tires a little bit. And on this day, you were able to win the race and hoist the Wally. Now, every one of these has got to be just super special given all that you have gone through to get to this point, and all you go through with the international travel, back and forth, every time you win a Wally, it must be great fun over there.
Yeah. And yesterday I died from my home to from L.A. to over there, and I've been waiting when I finish the race, I drive back from here. You know, next week we got the race to go in Seattle.
Now, you have a speed shop, correct? So like back home,
yeah.
You have a speed shop, and so you are putting together. Are you actually assembling fast cars for people, or are you ordering parts?
Yeah,
How
yeah.
does that work?
No, we've been doing that with the customer stuff for the our people over there for the street car. We've been building from the zero car for the 1,200 something for the street car, a lot of the 600 car and a lot of the different stuff for the, and we have been servicing our Promart car over there in our shop. We've been doing a lot of the different things in the shop.
Very cool. It sounds like a lot of fun, and anytime you can bring the performance, the car hobby, to a new part of the world, that's got to be cool. I'm sure people are knocking on your door big time now that you got all these Wallys.
But, you know, sometimes everybody with time is this. You know, maybe I'm a little lucky, you know, to be the team, the Alan Johnson team, with Al-Anabi, with Sheikh Khaled, with all this big name, you know. It's not easy to find any big team like this, you know.
Well, what is, that's a great question. What is your reputation back home? The racer who made it big, are you that guy?
You know, over there, especially in our home, you know, the race one day been big, the people been looking for the race, and you feel, oh, the future is coming with the race, and one day everything's been gone, back and forth, and the good things in this sport now, maybe I'm the first guy to start the race here in the United States. Now, we got maybe last week, we got a PDRA race, around 5-6 people from, two from my country, one from Bahrain, one from Kuwait, been coming here now to race. This is the good things, you know, the people been hearing, somebody's outside, oh, why, I'm not going over there, everybody try to put sponsor together to come here in the United States. That sport, I think, been coming around good in our home now. In 2009, I'm the first guy to start to race now. Last week, we've been visiting maybe 7 people from our home. This is a good thing, you know.
Go ahead.
This is good for all the sport, you know, for the everybody here, for everybody in the home, for the media in our home, for our sponsor, for everybody, you know. The sport's been coming bigger and bigger, especially the people been coming from overseas to race here in the United States.
Well, from my perspective, every week I look at the final round, and whether it's J.R. Todd beating Brittany Force or Khaled Al-Balushi winning over the world champion Sean Langdon, or Courtney Force racing against her dad, John Force, who is in his upper 60s, it seems to me that drag racing represents the regular public, like the diverse group that's out there in the world at any given time, better than any other motorsport, sport.
Yeah. Especially here, if you come here with a nice team, with a nice group, and everybody, you know, what he been doing, we got a chance to win, you know. And we need to find little luck and keep going. Everything will be fine, you know. Nothing been dream or something. If anybody must try his best, why not, you know? If you're watching, the people been winning, you know, okay, he got a car, I got a car, he got a good crew chief, I got a good crew chief, he's a driver, I'm a driver, and why not? I cannot win, you know?
Well, you are looking good for the countdown. It's with 3 races remaining. You guys are headed to Seattle. You are well within the countdown, and this win certainly helped. But when does championship countdown tune-up happen? Is it, you guys testing anything up to the U.S. Nationals? I know in Indy, you are loaded for bear, and Indy right through the end of the countdown, you guys are just, you know, trying to win races as best as you can. Are you almost done experimenting with things?
We've been trying a lot of different stuff, you know, and Jason McCullough with AJ, he's been trying to different stuff between the races, this, that. But I think we are very close to catch up our car, and we don't have any plan to test our car before any test, and we go from over there, you know. You see how our car is going to do before Indy, and we want to start from over there, you know, to see how it's going.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to watch. Congratulations on the win, the Alanabi gold machine, even though it's chrome. What, do you guys still go by Alanabi gold, even though the whole top of the car is chrome? Because I love the new car this year.
Yeah, a lot of the people like it, but, you know, it's what it is. So, yeah, no, it's still our car is gold.
I like it. Khaled, thank you for coming on WFO Radio. It's very cool to watch you win. And again, happy birthday as well.
Thank you.
Khaled Al-Balushi with us here on WFO Radio, your Top Fuel winner. Race two of the Western Swing, but we are headed north up the Pacific Coast Highway to Pacific Raceways, and I know the Northwest Nitro fanatics and everybody up there in that nitro-crazed part of the country, also Super Bowl champions, are very excited for the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series to head their way, and we've got a cool opportunity to connect with the general manager of Pacific Raceways. He joins us now, John Ramsey. Welcome to WFO. How are you?
I am fine, Joe. How are you today?
Very well. I doubt I'm quite as busy as you are getting ready for the tour to stop by. How are things going out there?
Well, you know, we're close to having the whole facility ready. It's been nonstop work, as you might understand, for the last few weeks, just to get everything moved in and set up. And you know, it's the biggest show in town that we do, and we want to make things right for the crowds that'll be out here.
We have a lot of listeners from that part of the country, and we're an internet show. Anyone can log on or search for us from anywhere in the world. It just seems that a lot of our listeners happen to be from that region. It is my contention that there are a lot of really diehard NHRA fans up there that have been that way for years. What about you?
Oh, I would say without a doubt. I mean, not only here in Washington State, but you know, this race actually attracts a large number of race fans from British Columbia and Alberta, Canada, as well as Oregon, Idaho, and down into Northern California. It really is a regional draw, and we're just happy to be able to host it.
Now, there's a great history at that facility as well.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, the track was built in 1960. Actually, it was built in 1959, had its first race on July 4th, 1960. It's had a real successful career with the NHRA. This is our 27th annual national event. Obviously, I think listeners remember the track at one time as Seattle International Raceway and all of the big shows that the track has produced from the 70s on.
64 funny cars and all that Bill Doner crazy promotion stuff. That was the epicenter.
It all runs through our veins here, too. I mean, he's long been gone from the facility here, but, you know, people still refer to us as SIR, and everybody remembers back to 64 Funny Cars and the Fox Hunts and some of the other big shows that were produced out here.
The Fox Hunts. Now, where were you while that stuff was going on?
I think I was out here, actually. I grew up not very far from the track, so I was out for most of those big shows back in the 70s.
Now, how long have you been the general manager out there?
This will be my second national event as general manager. I was out here a year or so before that.
Now, I have never been to the facility. I have heard of the facility. I hope to go to the facility in the future as part of the Mellow Yellow Series announcing team, but not this year, unfortunately. So I'll be watching on TV just like everybody else. But I have heard a lot about the facility, and let me just throw some things out there on the table.
Sure.
One of the coolest locations in one of the most coveted markets. I know NASCAR was desperately trying to get up there. Obviously, the NFL is there, and Major League Baseball is there, and even the MLS has had great success there. The fact that NHRA is there, all great stuff, passionate fans. What I have heard was that the facility itself, like, and you would have to tell me because I haven't seen it, the brick and the mortar, the bathrooms, those things, did kind of not advance with the rest of the sport. But from what I understand, you guys are really trying to address those issues, if they exist.
Well, we are. I mean, the facility is an older facility. There's no doubt about that. As I mentioned, it's been hosting races out here since 1960. It hasn't kept up with what I would consider to be the standard that you see at some of the super tracks around the country. That being said, It is, we do pride ourselves in the facility, take a lot of pride in its uniqueness. It's located in, it's not like many other tracks, certainly that the NHRA goes to. It does have character and uniqueness to it, and we continue to work on it and improve it every day.
The management obviously has to think about these challenges, and I can imagine it is not easy up there. What I know about the Seattle, Washington market is obviously it's a beautiful country and a lot of forests and a lot of environmental issues. What of those things are challenges to the racetrack?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. We're located in unincorporated King County, Washington. And we operate under a conditional use permit that dates itself back, several decades. And we have to work within the confines of that CUP, and in part that is what slows the progress of making improvements out here. We know those limitations, and we continually work within the box that's kind of drawn around the facility right now.
You mentioned character, though. We were just in Epping, New Hampshire, and talk about very passionate fans. Not a super track by any means, but it had its own character, the way a Fenway Park or a Wrigley Field. They're not necessarily Yankee Stadium, but they have their own way of expressing the sport that they are in.
And I think I think Epping's very similar to our track. I mean, you know, the base of fans up here in the Northwest. Joe, you mentioned the media market. We're the 12th largest media market in the country. There's a lot of desire for professional sports to be up here in the great Northwest, and the NHRA, to their credit, has been now for 27 years.
One interesting thing that will not be happening at your race this weekend, and I, you don't have to weigh in if you do not want to. I totally understand the sensitive nature of it, but the Pro Stock Points Leader will not be racing at your event, and I can understand this is something we're kicking around just on the show because, one, if it's going to help the team achieve a championship, then maybe it's a good idea, or the other, if you're a drag racing fan showing up to see Erica Ender Stevens because you've heard how great she is and you love her on TV and you want to see her, and you go to the track and she's not there, that could be a disappointment. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, she's a huge fan favorite up here. There's no doubt about it. She went out here 2 years ago and continues to have a large fan base out here. And, I mean, we were disappointed to hear that she wasn't going to be here. We've been, quite frankly, also fielding some phone calls from some disappointed fans about it. But, the rest of the show does go on, and we're expecting to have a good pro stock contingent here without her.
The end of the Western Swing, such an important spot. The Swing has been elevated to its own life, basically. These three races, no one's going to sweep the Swing this year, but still kind of cool to be at the tail end of that. And I know a lot of people that like the idea or have the bucket list idea of doing the whole Swing and ending up at Pacific Raceways.
Yeah, this is a real jaunt. You know, you start in Denver, Colorado, and you work your way down to Sonoma, California, then all the way up the coast to Washington State, to Kent, Washington. It's a grueling three races in 3 weeks with differing tracks and differing climates, and it's not easy for the professional teams, and certainly would be a lifetime experience for any fan that wanted to capture all three races.
Oh, I think it would be cool, and that's on my bucket list as well. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but one of these, I mean, your track definitely, but all three in a row, who knows? Anything that the fans or listeners or even teams should look out for this year, things that you're doing differently or something new that might be happening this year that hasn't happened in the past?
Right. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The weather is expected to be excellent out here, and by that I mean, we're looking at Friday and Saturday temperatures in the lower 80s. Sunday maybe cooling down a little bit, which would be even better with temperatures in the upper 70s, but plenty of sunshine. We've had actually a decent summer. The weather's nice today. It's an 80-degree day out here. We're working on the track. One of the things that we haven't done in previous years is a Sunday morning track walk. We're excited about about instituting that and the fun that comes with that track walk on Sunday morning. So that's one of the new things for fans that we're looking forward to. For racers, we've done some repaving on the drag strip. Basically, the last half of the drag strip, both lanes have been repaved and are nice and flat, smooth, and ready for some fast times.
Very, very cool, and I know racers love hearing that. How are your media market people with respect to the drag strip? There are times where I go into a market and I flip on the radio. Denver was one where I flipped on three different stations and heard, because you know I'm a talk radio fan, and heard different people talking about the track. And then there are markets that I go into where I hear absolutely nothing. Is the track and your events embraced by your local sports talk radio stations or rock stations? And is it the kind of thing that the local community wants to be a part of?
No, that's a good question. I mean, certainly we do have our radio and our television partners. The race this year and for the last several years has happened on the same weekend that SeaFair happens here in Seattle. And SeaFair is a not only is it an unlimited hydroplane race out in Lake Washington, they've been in existence for over 50 years, and they bring in the Blue Angels as part of their show. In fact, the Blue Angels flew over the track today on their way into Seattle. That does, however, take away some of the television coverage that we would hope to get just because it's another large competing event on the same weekend. Our radio partners have stuck with us and been good to us, and we have, I think, at least two or three live broadcasts scheduled for that this coming weekend out here, so we're looking forward to that.
Very cool. I think that's just such a maybe underappreciated element when people on their way to work hear the people they're listening to on the radio or TV mention or talk about something. It's in the back of their mind, and then they consider going out and hitting it.
Oh, yeah, you need those media partners to spread the word, and they've done a good job. I'm really proud of the stations and the support that we get from our prime stations.
John, I want to thank you for taking a little time again. I know you're probably very busy getting ready for the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series Tour to hit your track this weekend. I appreciate you coming on WFO Radio. If any of our listeners out there want to follow along with what's going on at Pacific Raceways, what is the best way? I know you guys got a Twitter account that you're working. Any other ways?
You know, our website, but it's really our Facebook has really kind of blossomed to really be the primary source for information, and it's Facebook/TheplaceToRace.
Excellent. The Place to Race. I will like it now. I am going to be liking it in seconds from now. I've liked it, just like that.
There you go. Thank you, Joe.
It has been liked. John, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. I appreciate it. As we do the show, to know that there are people around the country, around the world, that are connected to our little community here that we are building. And I think it is very cool. And, again, many of our listeners are from that region and just so passionate about the sport. It's going to be very cool to watch the race this weekend knowing that we know people there.
Well, Joe, I'm a listener myself, and I appreciate all that you do to help spread the word about drag racing.
Oh, thank you so much. We are we're trying our best. Let's put it that way. And, again, I really appreciate you coming on the show and telling us a little bit more. Now we know Pacific Raceways a little bit better. John, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
That was great. Awesome.
There you go.
All right. Hey, thank you for making the time. I appreciate it. And Caleb and I spoke, and he mentioned that you and him debriefed on it. I sent him a small box. My printer just couldn't get things done in time.
Okay.
Of our, like, 3x5 WFO little flyer cards.
Yep, we'll do that for you.
I sent him a box. Whatever you could do with them, it would be great. It's greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you, Joan. Thanks for the opportunity also to talk to you and your listeners. We, like I said, both Caleb and myself listen to the show, as do other people around here, so we appreciate it.
No, definitely, and I will be tweeting it at you guys, and I'll post it on your Facebook page and whatnot. And again, this is as the more I do it, it's wonderful to know that people that are in the biz are actually out there listening while they're working at the track. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, you're the man. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, John. Take care.
All right, bye.
No, John, you the man. How can I be the man if you the man? That's the story. And how about that? General manager of Pacific Raceways, the place to race, is a WFO radio listener, and all the folks out there. I know we have got listeners out there in the great Northwest. I think the Northwest Nitro Fanatics are going to have to start putting together some, like, Tuesday night WFO listener parties. How about Wednesday afternoon listener parties out there in the great Northwest? The Wednesday midweek WFO happy hour at some craft brew house out there in the great Northwest. I'm liking all of these ideas. Maybe the Northwest Nitro Fanatics will make it happen. But seriously, very interested, very cool to have listeners out there working at the track, on the facilities, and they are trying to turn the place around in a big way. I wish John and the whole team over there, Caleb and the guys, great success this weekend. And thank you for supporting WFO Radio. We appreciate it. Absolutely. Anytime we can get a little assistance out there from the WFO audience or racing shops, if you got a shop where the show is on, please let us know. In fact, you may have noticed on the WFOradio.com website that one of our listeners, Tim Paulin, his 2006 Mustang GT is on the front page of WFO Radio. Why? How? And the answer is because he sent it. Buried on our website, there is an area called Contact WFO. 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 And on that section, it gives you the phone number to call. It gives you the link. If you're a Skype user, you can just click it one touch away. Boom, you're there. It works from the app as well. But it also says at the bottom, if you have a cool race car, street rod, or show car, upload a picture for our listeners' rides gallery and include some information about you and your car. Why? Why would we do that? The answer is we like cars. And we think it would be cool to have a bunch of pictures of our listeners, cars, race cars, street cars, show cars, hobby cars, whatever they're working on the website somewhere. Now, I don't promote this an awful lot, and I should. That's my fault. I take full responsibility. But obviously, Tim is on the website, and he says, hey, I'm going to send these guys a picture. Sure enough, front page of WFOradio.com, and it is a very clean machine. Tim, congratulations. So, all you other WFO radio listeners out there, if you've got a race car, street rod, hot rod, rat rod, whatever it is, send us a photograph and it'll go in the WFO listeners gallery. And of course, that gallery will expand and people can browse the cars. I think it's cool. If I was out there listening, I would definitely be uploading a photograph. While you're there, check out the WFO radio store. Something new we are doing. Jeff from AZ Billet, right at the start of the WFO radio show, the beginning of the timeline, whipped up a batch of these WFO radio machined keychain slash bottle opener promotional items. And initially, we gave them away to our super, super VIP listeners and participants, the core group, the original group. But now we have decided, you know what? We're going to open them up for sale. Anybody who wants one can order one right there on the website. It's $8. It's awesome. It's this very thick piece of machined billet aluminum with the WFO radio logo. And it is obviously multi-purposed because Rich York, our fantasy champion, has used it as a Christmas ornament. It is also a bottle opener keychain. It all depends on what you want to do. I'm sure you could find many, many uses for it. I just think it's cool because it's this very robust piece of metal. Check it out on the website in the WFO Radio store. We got lots of good stuff going on, and it's expanding nearly every week. New things coming on the WFOradio.com. So check it out. Big thanks to John and all the folks from Pacific Raceways. Big thanks to Cal and Albalucci for coming on the show. I love the fact that drag racing is an international sport. We need to keep it going. Keep it going in the right direction. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get into the naturally aspirated machines. Pro stock and pro stock motorcycle, plus Bobby Bennett at the tail end of the show. Jason Lyne coming up next, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something. Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
WFO Radio. NHRA Nitro. Nitro. WFO Radio. Now, back to WFO Radio.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, following up the Sonoma Nationals. And if you are a new listener, if you are a first-time listener, if you are a fan of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, well, you have come to the right place, especially if you love pro stock, because you hear the winners on this show, and the winner is here with us, Jason Line, on the phone line. Jason, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Wow. When was the last time we spoke? It feels like it has been a little while, not a tremendously long time, but longer than I would prefer.
1990-something. I don't know. A long time ago. It seems like forever, and it's been way too long, I can tell you that. I guess Pomona.
Wow. Wow. Well, you came out of the box strong, and interesting the way it works. Obviously, Greg coming back. You've got Vincent over there. The team is kind of going through this process of getting Greg into the countdown as best as you can, working on the performance of your car. Vincent, new driver, new team. Would you say at this point of the season that you have gotten used to all the off-season changes that were going on at the start of the season?
No, I don't think so. Just a lot of things, you know. We've realized that we need to get better, and we struggled here for a while, and maybe struggling for us is still halfway decent, but not where we feel like we should be, and certainly not where we want to be. So it's been a long process, and we're getting better, but at the same time, we're working on a new engine and a lot of other things. So, it's just a work in progress, and I guess we'd hope to be better than we are at this point, but at the same time, we're at least going the right way, and that feels good.
number two qualifier out there in Sonoma. You also had success in Denver. I think maybe we should back up there and talk about how, while Allen won again and Jegg was in the final, the gap, the performance gap, appeared to have closed considerably. You with the number one qualifying position and all. With that being a one-off race at that altitude, it must be very difficult to make performance gains considering it's a once-a-year racetrack.
Well, for us, it's been in the past, and like I said, we've worked on a new engine stuff, and you know, it certainly ran better on the dyno, and we knew it was going to be better just to know how much, and never had a chance to test things before we went to Denver. So, fairly better, and we were. I mean, of the first two qualifying runs, you know, Allen was low, and for the next six runs, I was. So we outran him every run, and that for us, that was a big feat. The Dodgers are tough on the hill, and they're tough everywhere. So coming here again, you know, having high hopes going to Sonoma, felt like we were better yet at sea level, and can't say that we were, but we're still good. And we'd have been number one qualifier, but the driver just he struggled this weekend, and it was one of those weekends where sometimes you go through those things where you just don't do a good job, and that's not as precise as you need to be the best in pro stock. But we managed to get the win in spite of that, and still it was a great weekend, and I'm excited about the performance of my Summit Chevy Camaro. It's definitely coming around, and there's more to come.
Your great friend Allen Reinhardt always talks about the right place in the right time. And there's no way to predict where that place is going to be, whether you're going to need the best reaction time of the weekend to win by a thou, or the best ET of the weekend to win by a thou. No way to know when you're pulling into the stage beams, but in the first round, you're going up against number 15 qualifier Joey Gross. You're able to get around him. Obviously, the field's out west. Some drivers electing, Erica, for instance, to sit out these next two races. I'm going to ask you about that after we talk about your round by round. But second round, Jonathan Gray, there is a young driver who has really stepped in a big way.
Yeah, Jonathan's he's doing a heck of a job behind the wheel, and I don't think anybody looks forward to racing him. He's definitely tough, and, you know, his car is right now it's not the fastest, but it's close. And, you know, all the top cars are so close that, you know, it's really hard to feel good about having a hundredth of a second on somebody and say, man, I got this one. So, you know, everybody's close, and he's certainly, he won't cut you any slack on the starting line, that's for sure. He's a very good leader, and does a great job. So, at the same time, I felt like, you know, I really needed to beat him just for Greg's sake, nothing else, because him and Greg obviously are locked in a three-year points battle there. So, that was a big round for us.
Semifinals against Dave Connolly, one of the best leavers, and in a situation that he has described as his best opportunity ever to go out and win a Mellow Yellow Championship. And at this point, it's amazing how the season has flown by. The U.S. Nationals right around the corner. You guys are headed to Seattle, then obviously Brainerd. Then all of a sudden, every single race matters. You were able to get around Dave. He had a bit of a problem setting up the final round against V Gaines. And if there is someone who is hungrier out there than V, I do not know who it is.
Yeah, maybe Greg. That's about it. I know. And going into that, racing V is tough for me because, you know, and I shouldn't feel this way, but, you know, he's getting up there in years. And I know if he'd have won, I knew this before we raced that, you know, he'd have been the oldest pro winner ever, and I hate to deny him of that, but at the same time, that's my job. I'm supposed to, and you know, I was lucky enough to get by him. So and again, pretty much the performance of my car certainly carried me through. So, but all in all, great weekend, and you know, obviously still a good weekend for me as well.
You're holding the Wally at the end of the day on stage with Eddie Krawick and Courtney and Caladale Belushi out there in Sonoma wine country, what appears to be just a beautiful track and a beautiful part of the country. So you get to enjoy some success right as the season is about to get very tough. Let me ask you about that, Jason. I know you guys are working really hard and putting in the time and the hours, but at the end, the championship is just so difficult to achieve. Is there a year that you can think of that was more wide open? And I feel like we say that every year, that each year is just more competitive than the last, and the potential for different winners is higher and greater than it has been previously.
Yeah, we say it every year, but I don't know that it's true every year. This year it really is. There's a lot of good cars, and I couldn't tell you that there's no real clear-cut best car at the moment. I think the top five or six cars are all so close that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's going to come down to executing every single part of racing perfectly. So, and that's hard to do, and it's really hard to do for six straight races. And I don't know that you need to do it for six straight races, but you're going to have to do it for at least four of the six. So it's going to be tough. There's no question.
The points leader has elected to sit out this past weekend in Sonoma and in Seattle in choosing to refresh and kind of get ready for the championship run. That's what they have said at Elite Motorsports. You have been doing this a long time. I know Alan Johnson has said he's going to go out there and try to capture the points lead, at least make as much hay as possible in these next two races. I would imagine you're thinking the same thing. But what is there... In the repetition of being there, I know on the announcing side, if I don't show up to a race, I feel behind. Do you feel like just being at these races keeps you sharp?
I don't know that. I think for me, I'd probably use a little time back at the top, but I seriously doubt the points leader elected to stay home. I'm pretty sure with their car owner too, and anybody who knows Richard. They're probably laughing like I am. So he's got a motive. There's no question about that. What it is, who knows? But I think it's also a good time to have to stand back and look at the countdown format. Say, hey, this is really the right way to do it. Because I think you should be rewarded for going to all the races. So it's interesting move for sure. And whether or not it's right, I guess that's only for them to decide. It's a little bit, for me, it's a little bit of a shame. I had a lot of folks ask me, where she was this weekend. And she's a big part of our sport and certainly our class. And it's good to have her there.
Well, that is an excellent point that you bring up just from the entertainment value. If you go to see like a big rock show and one of the members of the band is not in the band, then you're like, hey, what happened?
Yeah, I think, certainly some of the fans would be disillusioned to say the least. So, again, she's an important part of our sport. So I don't like the fact that she's not there. So it is what it is. I don't necessarily say I want to raise her, but I don't like the fact that she's not there.
Now Greg is sitting 11th in the points. He's got he's 679 behind the lead, but that's not the number that's important. The important is, I guess, he's 18 points behind Jonathan Gray. And I don't want to say Chris McGahey is out of reach, but there is a significant jump between Jonathan and Chris. So with Seattle, Brainerd, Indy, three races to go, it seems to be shaping up like Jonathan or Greg for the final position in almost an even start from now. What are you guys doing over there to make sure that it's Greg?
Everything we can, and had certainly a good chance to make some hay this weekend, and it didn't make a good run of his car there, second round. We've struggled with that. We've really struggled with it, and it's not been an easy road, but we're getting better, just not at the rate that we need to. So, but I still feel like it's going to happen. Greg's a tough competitor. He's very headstrong, and I think he's going to buckle down, and under pressure, I think he's as good as they get. So I feel like we'll make it happen. He'll make it happen if we just need to get a little bit better hot rod. So we're working on it. So we're going to get there.
Kind of exciting, though, that the other side of the countdown format, two drivers in 10th and 11th, going to have a real knockdown drag out over the course of three race weekends to determine who gets to run for the championship, and then whoever it is, they're going to be much closer to the championship. That whole points lead is going to erode.
You bet. All that means nothing. So I think it doesn't matter whether you go in, first or in this case, I really don't think either one of those two cars. They're both very capable. So if they come in tenth, they're by no means out of it. I mean, Robert Heitz proved that in funny car a few years ago, and the same thing certainly happened at Brosoc.
And Seattle, Pacific Raceways. This is a track that is historic. It's a track in a market that other motorsports covet. Absolutely would love to be there, but cannot be there. And a certain diehard breed of fans, maybe more on the Nitro side, dating back to all the 64 funny car stuff from the golden age, per se. But I've spoken with a lot of people up there. They love Pro Stock. They're eager to see you guys up there. What's it like heading up to the Pacific Northwest?
I like going up there. It's a fun place to race. And the first few years, I struggled with that place. But the last 5 years, I've been reasonably successful there. And I like going there. It's nice weather. Good folks, and it's a beautiful part of the country, so I certainly enjoy going there.
Excellent. Jason, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. We always love catching up with you after your big wins here on the show, and I'm very excited to watch how it all plays out. I know that you are already locked in, so you'll be working on some things to make yourself more likely to win the championship, but watching the Pro Stock class has been very entertaining this year. I know it's only going to get better. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Jason Line with us here on WFO Radio and HRA Nitro following his big Pro Stock win over V Gaines and the field at the Sonoma Nationals. Headed up to Pacific Raceways this weekend, the final race of the Western Swing. Jason is obviously in and going to contend for the championship. This year has been pretty special. In terms of competition, is it going to be Jag? Is it going to be AJ? Is it going to be Jason? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Greg Anderson? The Jonathan Gray, Greg Anderson battle for the final position, I think, is a get your popcorn ready type moment already. Because Jonathan has had a really strong start to the season. Who'd have thunk he would have made two final rounds? He has been really good with a lot of horsepower, and that team is getting the job done. At the same time, you have Greg, who missed several races at the start of the season for surgery and for a health situation, and now he has been getting healthier every week, getting better every week, and going through the battles of Pro Stock, which there is no guarantee there that you're going to have success. And so, three races remaining: Pacific Raceways, Brainerd, Indy. And is Greg Anderson going to be able to make it all the way back? Jonathan Gray stands in his way, and get your popcorn ready, because it's going to be fun and exciting. Same with the funny car, Tim Wilkerson and Jack Beckman. These are the kind of things that the countdown is designed to highlight, and so we might as well highlight them. Very interesting stuff, and we've got a lot more to come. We got Eddie Krawick coming up on the show. We've got Bobby Bennett coming up on the show. Bobby going to talk about their Legends program on CompetitionPlus.tv. Been planning to have Bobby on in a while. We're going to ask him about a couple of other things. I'm going to ask him about the whole Erica Enders Stevens Elite Motorsports situation. I think that if drag racing was a little bit bigger, and that's where we're all trying to go. We're trying to make it bigger. The live TV, the creation of WFO Radio, I really think is going to go down in history 10, 15 years from now as the real turning point where it just took off. No? Anyway, if there were more media coverage of the sport of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, if we were talking about it on sports talk radio, if callers were calling in and debating, the Erica Enders Stevens Elite Motorsports situation, where they are not racing Sonoma or Seattle, would garner a lot of interest and strong opinions on both sides. I feel as if there are strong arguments to be made on both sides of the debate. On one hand, you have an unsponsored team running in one of the toughest motorsports classes on the planet and having great success. They want to maximize their success in terms of either finances, in terms of equipment, in terms of rest for the guys in terms of maybe they're trying to get a sponsor. Maybe they're trying to send the signal, hey, we need some assistance out here, fans of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. We need some financial backers to jump in, otherwise we can't make all these races. And sometimes we have to make tough decisions like not showing up to certain races. And they are playing by the rules. The rules are such that it's a meet. It's an event. You don't have to. You're not required to go to all the events. And if you can get the job done by only going to some, that's your business. That's your right. You are free to do that. And they have chosen that route. Now, who can argue against that? Well, here's the converse argument. The converse argument is, and we heard John Ramsey on earlier, that the fans who want to see the show are finding out now that some of the show is not going to be there. Erica Anders Stevens, someone that, whether she is or whether she isn't, she is definitely being marketed as a superstar person, a flashpoint for young fans of the sport, both girls and boys, little kids, the first female pro stock winner, Disney movie about her. Erica is a draw. She's a reason to go buy a ticket. She's a reason to go to the race. So your family can go out there and be face-to-face with Erica Anders Stevens, superstar drag racer personality that is out there battling against the guys. But she's not going to be there. And she's not going to be there because of all those reasons that I said. They're freshening engines. They're, you know, whatever. Whatever the reason is. Legitimate as it may be. But the fans being disappointed is very legitimate too. And that's the debate. If you want to call in or you want to give us your thoughts, we'll play them next week. 954-889-6796. Or use that contact page. You can Skype to Skype, leave a voicemail, or send your opinion. Where do you come down on this? We're going to ask Bobby Bennett as well. But years ago, NASCAR, not that they need to be the model of everything that drag racing does, but on our Ignition show, we cover them very well, and they are not afraid to make changes or do fan-focused changes, obviously. With their chase format, the new updated format, clearly they have done something right. NASCAR. You might not like it. I happen to be one of those, if it's got wheels and engine and a driver people, I'm there, especially for NASCAR and Formula One. All the time I spent on NASCAR radio, covering the sport very deeply, I learned a lot about the inner workings. And they are extremely fan-focused. The idea that one of their star racers is not going to show up to a major event or to any events at all, I don't think it happens. I guess Trevor Bayh, Daytona 500 winner running a limited schedule, maybe. But Trevor isn't to NASCAR what Erica is to NHRA Pro Stock. She is a huge draw, I would imagine. Or maybe not. Or maybe, and this is the final analysis here, is this. Because Erica is walking this line between wanting to be a racer's racer, coming out of super gas. She's a racer. She's a racer's racer, junior dragster, trying to turn on wind lights, trying to be successful. Whereas a Danica Patrick is a superstar marketer. And a lot of people are on Danica about not winning races, being a superstar marketer, being a marketing machine, a celebrity driver who is out there because of who she is and not her ability, a lot of people think, which I disagree with. But there's two different schools of thought now. And Erica is missing races. There are fans who would be thrilled to see her, buying tickets. They don't get to see her. And, of course, Danica is out there every week at every track. It's a very complicated situation. It's very difficult. Should NHRA make some sort of rule or give some sort of bonus to make missing races not worth it? If you show up to every single race, if you invest in the sport and show up to every single race and go on the tour every race, have perfect attendance, should there be a points bonus? These are things to consider. We already know that race teams are going to do whatever they can do to get ahead, no matter what it is. They will look at the rule book. They will analyze the rule book. They will find the weaknesses in the rule book. They will take advantages of the weaknesses. That's racers. That's what they do. That's why we love them. If there is a gray area, they will exploit it. If there is an advantage to be gained, they will find it. They realize that they can skip races to save money that is sorely needed and then reapply those funds somewhere that is more important down the road, they will. If you make it against the rules, they will comply. I feel bad for the fans out there at Pacific Raceways and the fans at Sonoma and Erica. Erica should be a racing brand unto herself. The Danica Patrick model. There should be no shame in it. And if you can be popular and make your fans happy and make them love you so much that the sponsors will flock, even though you are not a champion driver, that will still work if you are a champion driver. I don't know. I think this is a bit of a microcosm of the difference between NHRA Pro Stock and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, where being at the race is really the most important. To be there for the fans is the most important thing. You've got to be there for your people. You have to. I cannot think of a situation where a top-tier team would not go to a race. Except for they are unsponsored and don't have the money. And then that's something totally different altogether. And again, you cannot blame anybody. It is a situation that has arisen. Watching it and thinking about it and discussing it, there's a lot of different aspects and angles. I'd love to know what you think. 954-889-6796. Joe@WFOradio.com. Send me an email. Call the Skype line. Name where you're calling from, what you think about it. When we return, Eddie Krawick joins us right here on WFO Radio. I want to remind you, the WFO Radio app is always free. You can listen to every show, every interview. You can connect with the website. You can click a button and call the wide open line, Skype to Skype, or just from your cell line. You can just click a button and call the show. So it works real easy, but maybe you are against the WFO Radio app. I'm just against it. We are also available on TuneIn and Stitcher and all those podcast apps. There's thousands. If you're new to your iPhone or your Android phone and you really don't know how to work it, pick out like a 13-year-old kid and say, hey, I got this show I want to listen to, WFO Radio, help. And they will help you, chances are, if you're nice to them. We'll be back with Eddie Krawick and then Bobby Bennett later on in the show, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They call them like this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Video. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, following up the second race of the Western Swing, but the final race of the Western Swing for the Pro Stock Motorcycles. And joining us now, the Pro Stock Motorcycle winner from the Sonoma Nationals, another Screamin' Eagle Vance and Hines racer, Eddie Krawick. Eddie, welcome back to WFO. Congratulations.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me. And obviously, it's always good to talk on a Monday, Tuesday.
Now, you're not going to run off on me like Andrew did last time, are you?
No, you know, you had to take son Ryan over to meet up with his mother there and get ready for football camp. But no, I'm here in the airport hanging out. Got a couple hours to kill before I fly back to Indiana and get going back to shop.
The funny thing is, obviously, I am busting Andrew's chops totally on that. He stopped. He made time. We recapped the win. The listeners want to feel the moment, and the moment was Andrew just won, but he had a bunch of stuff going on. I felt like we captured it, but he sent me a text. Hey, I am just joking around.
Yeah, you know, hey, it's one of those things. Sometimes you have a lot to do, but when you win, you know, you got to take all those things that go with it, so... But we're always excited to speak with you, and as is probably everybody in the class on the following week of the event.
The race after the race. All right, let's talk about the race. And it's been interesting to watch how the season is playing out, because I feel like you guys have reemerged and reasserted yourself as the team favorite. That having been said, at any given day, anyone seems capable of beating anyone. You were qualified second. The number one qualifier, Jerry Savoie. How cool is that? On the Suzuki, he credited you guys for the horsepower, but another player emerges.
Yeah, you know, he's had that bike all year, and, you know, they've sort of struggled with the new fuel injection initially, and, you know, he's got Tim Colungi in there tuning as the crew chief, and he's doing an awesome job. You know, he's proved that the, you know, inline platform has what it takes to run up front and do what it needs to. And by all means, he's showing it, you know, to go out there. And I'll tell you, I was absolutely floored in the last session qualifying for, you know, in Q4. He pops the clutch, the thing leaves, and he goes to the pole, and he's in front of me, and I'm like, holy hell. I'm like, that was a monster run. That's like the heat of the day. And he goes out there and busts out an 81-0. You know, up until that point, the fastest the Suzuki ever was, I think it was an 82-4 was the ET, 82-3 or 82-4, which is the fastest the Suzuki has ever gone. And, you know, Jerry goes out, you know, comes up here to Sonoma and just starts knocking out 81s like they're nothing. And you know, the most impressive run by him definitely was, I think it was E3, right in front of me. Goes out there and he goes 198 miles an hour. Now, with all due respect to everybody, but he just crushed class on that, because that was simply a 200 mile an hour run in the right condition. And they're doing their thing. Great, great job. We love it. You know, Vance and Hines, as a engine builder and as a supplier to him, you know, we love it. He's doing what he needs to do with what he's got.
It's great anytime more manufacturers can be successful, so that more people feel they have an opportunity to win. Is Jerry's bike, obviously you guys, Vance and Hines, the engine suppliers, is his the most advanced that there is for a Suzuki?
Yeah, I would definitely say that, yes. He's the one that's embraced the technology and some of the stuff that we have to offer to our customers. And you know, Jerry, although you would say he's a total full-time team, committed 100%, but he also has other responsibilities in life and being his job, and unfortunately he missed Denver. He had to get back because of bad weather, and you know, he's an alligator farmer, so he's got to get alligator eggs. When he doesn't get alligator eggs, he doesn't get alligators. So, yeah, I understand totally what he had to do, and, you know, but we'd love to see him out here, like, full-time, 100%. And I think next year he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, because this, he told me in the beginning of the season, was going to be an R&D year for him to get everything right, to iron out the package and to get everything going. And he's doing just that. So, you know, but to be honest, those guys, they're doing Tim and Jerry and all those guys are doing all the tuning and everything with that motorcycle. They always know if they need to ask, they can come to us and ask anything, and they do. You know, occasionally we exchange back and forth and we talk, and I try to share as much data with those guys as I can. So we want to see them run well and be up front.
It's funny, because we're having the conversation about basically your final round opponent, the number one qualifier, who is a customer of Vance and Hines, more so than your own bike. We're going to obviously get into that, but I think it's kind of cool. You guys also had the Miramonte Records Pro Bike Battle for the first time ever. Eddie, how do you think that went off, and how special a deal is it to have a bonus race for you guys, the Pro Stock Motorcycle Class, back once again?
Well, you know, I have to extend, you know, a huge thank you, huge, huge, huge to those guys at Miramonte Records and everybody coming aboard with that program. You know, Danny Greco made that happen, and, you know, got to also credit Freddie Camarena. Freddie brought those guys aboard, and he's out here racing and doing his thing, and, you know, it just brings some great credibility to the motorcycle class. You know, we used to have a battle years ago, and it went away. You know, money became tight, economy got tight, so, you know, it's hard to maintain that. And to have Danny step up with Miramonte Records and put on that race is huge for the class, just in the recognition side of it and everything. It gives all the top eight guys that are participating, and that's an extra hope to win some cash. For me, it wasn't so good. But, you know, so be it. That's racing. You know, to basically sum it up in a nutshell, Andrew and my bike really struggled on Friday. We got here. We were very confident, took our Denver setups out, put our ones back in, and they wouldn't get down the track. Mine went 116-60 foot on the first lap, and Andrew's went, like, 110 or 111, something like that, knocked the tire off. Just wasn't right. And then we went out there Q2. I went 110, and then he went 116. And we were like, okay, we're just stuck. And, you know, we hate being like that. And we went back to our old trusty clutch setup and all our chassis setup notes that we had that we ran previously throughout the year. And, you know, bikes responded really well. The only bad thing is when we do that with our motorcycles, on the bad side of things, this is the setup that actually hurts our reaction time. It's probably 300 or 400 slower in the reaction time department. So, you know, we had to go about it a couple different ways, and, you know, it bit me first round. I didn't think I was going to be that bad. you know, on the tree. I hate being 70, you know, high 60s and 70s, but, you know, that's racing, learned a lesson, and I really learned what I had to do for Sunday. So I applied it.
So Andrew wins the Miramonte Records Pro Bike Battle over Scotty Polacek. Then, of course, race day comes, and obviously we're getting ready for the countdown. For me, it has snuck up upon me. I've been just enjoying the season, watching the races, feeling that there was time, and then all of a sudden there's not time. Time is over. You are not in the position to have to be thinking about that. You will be in, but it's time to tune up and gain the performance, because guess what? It's right around the corner. First round, you had to run up against Freddie, the aforementioned Freddie Camarena, who has qualified now for two races, which is great. You were able to beat Eddie, and in the second round, John Hall. John Hall has been so tough emerging on that Matt Smith Racing motorcycle. You're able to beat John in the second round, outrunning him in 82.
It was actually Angie. It was Angie Smith that I ran second round.
Well, what am I looking at here on the ladder chart on NHRA Pro Stock Motorcycle Sonoma Nationals? What is this?
Yeah, somebody must have messed it up.
And
no,
so,
it was Angie Smith that I had to run there in the second round. And
look at this. No, I have it. You're absolutely correct, and I would refer everyone to NHRA.com to see what I am seeing. But that is correct, meaning that Angie and you ran, and Matt and Andrew ran in the second round.
That is correct. That is correct.
And folks, you can go to the ladder chart on NHRA.com if you want to see.
But as we sort of, and everybody has sort of labeled Angie as the you know, the giant killer there when she went out and played Andrew and I both in effing, and you know, she did a phenomenal job. And you got to take her serious. You know, the girl's good. She can ride. She can hit the tree. She can do everything. So, you know, at the end of the day, you take nobody light. I don't take Fred Camarena light. I don't take anybody. You know, I've had my fair share of butt waxings, and I don't enjoy them, and I hate to lose. And it makes you a better racer. And if you don't become a better racer from it, then that's your fault. But Angie went a career best, 84, like 2 or 3 or something like that against me. I happened to go 81, and, you know, we got the speed back in a tune-up, 197, and ran quite well against her. And luckily for me, I was able to leave on her. For race day, it was no secret. I told everybody in the press room, you know, I sort of had my qualifying setup, which stayed shallow and go, and race day, shove it in there, get it in there, you know. I'd turn off the top light if I had to. And, you know, so I was taking a big chunk of the beams, and at the end of the day, it worked out for me where I was able to get the bike into the 30s on the tree and still maintain, you know. So you're trading off a hundredth or two at the finish line for maybe 3 or 4 at the starting line. So I'll take a hundredth wherever I can get it.
In the semis, you had to go up against Andrew, but one final thought on the whole Angie Smith situation. She is having a career year, and we have seen that on NHRA.com and other places covering the story. Also, potentially bringing in a new, fresh, and exciting sponsor, and something that I find interesting, and I wonder, do the people out there know and understand what's going on? Eddie, we always talk about the smack talk aspect of it, whether it be on the message boards or otherwise, but in Denver, I got to see Danny Griego was having a concert, and everyone was there. Like, all the Pro Stock Motorcycle racers, crew members, and personalities were all hanging out together, still busting chops, taking photographs, tweeting them, mocking each other. But in this great family-like environment where everyone goes back and forth at each other while at the same time taking it seriously and having a good time, what is the dynamic? Because I like it. It's cool.
You know, here's the thing. I have a very long relationship with Angie. I've known her for a long time. It goes all the way back to her Outlaw Motorcycle days in the, you know, late 90s and early 2000s. So, you know, it's always been a thing with her. Like we call it our love-hate relationship because we love to hate each other, but we both have respect for each other. And you know, that's what makes it fun. And at the end of the day, if you can't have fun doing this, you shouldn't be doing it. And you know, in the bike class, yeah, we're all enemies. Yeah, we're all down each other's throat on a track or have whatever to say. But, you know, when it all comes together, we all have that common bond, and we all share the motorcycle side of it and race. And in all due respect to anybody out there in any category, if a class can't come together as a whole, you're going to fail. And for us, I mean, we have meetings. We do whatever we can to get together to try to make our class better. And at the end of the day, it's not about us racing. It's about making it good for the fans, making it good for everybody. And, you know, although sometimes you don't like the outcome or the results of what it is that's going on, you have to respect it if it's to make it better for everybody. I mean, we, you know, the Harley deal has been on the losing end of it twice, and it is what it is. We try to, you know, pick up our pieces and move forward and get after it again. But if it's going to make the class better in the end, I agree.
I agree as well.
That's the big part of it.
NHRAPSM is the hashtag, and if you want to find anything, probably including the tweets that were flying back and forth at Denver, you can look there. They were funny. All right, semifinal matchup now, you versus teammate Andrew, who had won the Miramonte Records Pro Bike Battle and the previous race. Obviously, that's one that intramural squad within the office, you got to look at him, he's got to look at you. Those have got to be really fun.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those races. We were both talking about it in the pits, and, you know, it's funny, Matt, you know, we were all joking. You know, Matt, our crew chief, Matt's like, hey, you guys better stay shallow here because we got to go for lane choice. And we're like, listen to this. He sounds like a fuel crew chief, you know, telling us how to stage here. We're like, we don't care. We want to cut each other's head off, you know, but, it's all fun. It's all good racing. You know, Andrew and I, whenever we run each other, we know what we're both capable of. And, that was a great drag race between us, you know, either way, he spun a little bit off the starting line, you know, but, the main thing that I do want to stress is, you know, I give a ton of credit to my crew chief, Matt. You know, I mean, he's doing an awesome job. This is the first time in almost, you know, I've been with the team for almost 7 years now, and, this is the first time that I can say we have two badass Harleys in our pit that literally run within thousands of each other now for a couple races. You know, I've felt really bad because I've struggled on the tree a little bit trying to get my bike to work 100% with me, without changing my style. And, you know, I think we could have had a couple more all Harley finals if we've had that opportunity. But, you know, I feel I let them down, but, I think I'm back. I think I know what I need to do.
You ran Jerry in the final. Jerry goes red. You win the race. I'm sure Jerry, obviously, the more opportunities he gets to be in final rounds and have a great performing motorcycle, he's going to make the most of them. Great to see him in the final. But you're holding the Wally at the end of the day. And looking at the schedule now, Eddie, you guys are there. Basically, your next race is the big go. You've got a month to deal with now. And then it's U.S. Nationals countdown.
Yeah, it's time to get serious. You know, we have a month off, and you know, I got asked in the press room, you know, hey, what are you guys going to do in the month off? So I was joking around, you know, I looked at Jason Line, and I said, well, I'm going to ask Jason what video games it is he plays. I'm going to download them and just hang out and do nothing for the next couple weeks. And, you know, everybody knows that's the furthest from the truth. You know, we're going to get back at it. We're going to hit it hard. Obviously, you know, we need to find some horsepower, and we need to get after it a little more, as well as we need to go out and test and get our motorcycles working 100%, you know, because we got to make it where we got some bikes that we can go 20s and 30s on the tree pretty much every single lap and do what we need to do and have some fast motorcycles. And I think if we have that, you'll see a great battle, hopefully at the top there with Andrew and I involved. I think there's going to be a couple guys. I mean, shows you Jerry's going to be a thorn in everybody's side. He's fighting to make the top 10. I think he possibly can, but he's going to have to, really hope things go his way. And I'm pulling for him, see if it happens. But, it's going to be pretty cutthroat once we get to Indy.
So let's size up the competition pretty quickly, because you, Andrew, and Hector Jr. are already locked in, and Hector Sr. is going to be in. So I would imagine there's going to be very little changing. Steve Johnson currently holds the 10th slot. Angie a little bit ahead of him. Adam Arana on the outside, and Jerry would both have to do something. They're both capable. It could happen. But let's assume things stay close to how they are. You've got the Matt Smith bikes. You've got the George Bryce bike with Michael Ray, and obviously Steve Johnson in there, and the Aranas. So that's a group of people that we have seen the past couple of years all perform at a very high level.
Yeah, absolutely. They're all winners. Every bike is a winner in that. And, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, like you say, Matt's got four, Star's got one, and Steve's got his Suzuki. And when you look at it in the big picture, and then you got the Aranas with their two bikes and us with our Harleys, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a great fight, hopefully, all the way to the end. And all I can ask for is to be in Pomona with a shot for the championship. I've had it the last couple of years, had that opportunity. It's worked out for me on some. It hasn't with others. But all I can say is I just want that opportunity to be able to fight for the championship.
Well, it looks like it's going to be very exciting for all of us who enjoy the class, and I am looking forward to it because it's going to be very difficult to handicap, as it has been the past couple of years. That's really nothing new, but the competitiveness of Pro Stock Motorcycle, I think, in 2014 has exceeded the years previous. It's just very level playing field. Anyone can win. It's going to be interesting to watch. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on WFO. Congratulations on your victory, and enjoy all the video gaming and the hanging out. Enjoy it.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. And, you know, thanks for all you do for the sport, and, you know, make sure that we get some airtime and somebody to talk to.
Absolutely. I totally agree with it. And thank you very much for always being compliant and coming on the show. I appreciate it.
And one last thing I do want to say is two of the winners this weekend had birthdays, Jason Line and Belushi.
Yes.
So, you know, I just want to throw out there, and then being able to go up on stage with Courtney Forrest and all three, you know, all three of the winners in their respective categories, you know, it was an awesome experience, especially for me, because, you know, I'm a big Belushi fan, and, you know, Jason's a good friend, and, well, being able to go up there with a Forrest is never a bad thing, so it's an awesome deal, and it really was great.
Absolutely. The TV show came off great, although, now that I'm used to, like, live TV, you want more of it. Once you see the live show, it's just different in a different kind of way that makes you want more. The countdown clock running, that whole deal, I'm hoping they can figure that out.
Yeah, I think the live TV is going to be a big key to help bringing this sport on the TV side of things to another level. You know, so we'll have to see. I think NHRA is trying their best, and it's not easy. If somebody had the answer to and the solution to the problem, I think it would have happened already. So we just got to dig harder, and us as racers, you know, need to put on the best show that we can and have all the fans out there supporting us. So, you know, that's one of the most important things as a fan.
Eddie, thank you very much. Safe travels, my friend. And I will see you in Indy in about 4 weeks.
Thanks, Joe. See you then.
Thanks, Eddie. Eddie Krawick with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. And always love catching up with folks from NHRA PSM. That's the hashtag. The Pro Stock Motorcycle Class. They develop their own hashtag. You go on there, you see all kinds of cool stuff. Very interesting dynamic, the whole class. And looking forward to the championship countdown. Going to be very, very cool. How about that? The next race for the Pro Stock Motorcycles is the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. All right, well, this one has been a full show. You're definitely getting what you paid for on this show. I want to remind you, if you like what we're doing here on WFO, check out our sponsors, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. How about that testimonial from one of our WFO radio listeners who did the Dragster Adventure at the start of the show? And, of course, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, Redline Oil, all on board. And let me tell you, couldn't do it without them. Check them out on the website. Check out our sponsors. We certainly appreciate it. All right, when we come back, Bobby Bennett from CompetitionPlus.com, one of our media partners, going to tell us a little bit about his Legend Series, the Bill Doner Legend Series. Very, very cool. Plus, I'm going to ask him some questions about the Erica Enders Stevens Elite Motorsports situation and some other things out there in the world of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. And then we're going to wrap it up. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone. Dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com. Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
And finally this week on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, the final race of the Western Swing Pacific Raceway is coming up, but we got a moment or two. When we have winners every week, we got to cram it in because there's good stuff going on. From CompetitionPlus.com, the editor, Bobby Bennett, joins us now to talk about some great things going on Comp Plus. Bobby, welcome back. Long time no talk. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Joe. I feel like I've won the NHRA national event. I'm on WFO Radio.
This is what it feels like for these people. I've never been a guest on my own show. What is it like, Bobby?
Well, you get to talk with the best online radio show guy and a pretty good guy from Florida, too, at that. And he knows drag racing, got a great voice. Well, that's as far as I got for what you paid me to say.
That's true, and that's good enough. I feel like I got my got my money's worth. Bobby, I
know. Well, just a disclaimer. Everything I said was true about Jack.
Except for the payment part. That is not true.
Except the payment part, yes.
As of now, maybe in the future, but at the moment, nothing yet. Now, Bobby, I've been keeping up with Comp Plus. I know that you have not been on the show for a little while, but been noticing some of the things that you've been doing. One in particular, since we're headed to Pacific Raceways this weekend, the Bill Donor Legends series. I think that came out very, very well.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. You know, in 1999, we had a vision that people would want to read their drag racing news on the Internet. And, well, we were pretty much ahead of the curve, but we worked our way through. Well, we've come to another phase of the Internet world here in the Internet magazine world. And the good thing about the Internet magazine world and news media is that because you're on the Internet, you can also present television-style programming on the Internet. It's almost like, you know, picking up your favorite automotive magazine, opening it up, and having television inside of it. And that's a bit of what we've tried to create at Competition Plus and Competition Plus TV.
Now, the Bill Donor Legends series, and folks, you can check it out on CompetitionPlus.com. I've also posted it on our WFO Radio Facebook page and social media accounts. I found it to be particularly interesting, and I wonder if you're coming at it from the same angle, Bobby, that this guy was in the promoting world, promoting drag racing at the time that it was at its social peak, would you call it? The most people in the United States were aware of what drag racing was, the personalities, the Snake and Mongoose era kind of was birthed at this time, all the Nitro cars, the 64 Funny cars, a lot of the chaos and mayhem. Bill Donor was doing a lot of the promoting of that on the West Coast. Steve Evans, the voices that came to be known as the National Voices, rooted at his tracks.
Bill Donor was the Babe Ruth of drag racing promoters. This guy, so much of what he did during his time, I think, was by accident and ahead of the curve. And when I say that, you know, he fell into the right spots, and his adventurous spirit and his constant shock factor and wow factor was what made him a promoter that people wanted to go see. Now, we could talk about drag racing is competition and all of this, you know, like Force says at the beginning of the show, it's two cars, it's a competition. Bill Donor looked at this like a totally different way. Bill Donor looked at it as entertainment that just happens to be competition.
The woman that hair was on fire, he said, give her $50 and send her down the track.
Yeah, definitely. And to hear the legend, so what we've done with Legends, the series, and we've picked out some pretty interesting characters to be a part of this. I got to spend about 2 hours with Dom Perdome at his shop, which was quite a feat because McEwen says he usually throws everybody out in 30 minutes. So we have an upcoming episode of Perdome, and the reason I'm talking about these individuals is just like Donor, that people really don't know these people outside of the article here and an article there. You see Dom Perdome win races. You read about Bill Donor's 32 funny cars, but nobody really got the story of that.
I would agree with that, and I noticed in your footage you used some of the Bill Donor roast footage that I actually ordered that a couple of years back on the net, and if you listen to the Steve Evans Be There compilation tapes, you know that he really did a lot to talk about the chaos that was a Donor promotion. You sit down with the guy, you talk about specific promotions.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is that Bill Donor got it back then, and he still gets it to this day. In this day and age when... And let's face it, NHRA drag racing, the last few events, has hit home runs in terms of attendance. And actual, the show of the event has been really, really good. Denver was off the charts, if you ask me. And anybody who knows me knows that I'll give them
a high and tight fastball any day of the week. But when they do right, they deserve credit. And what Bill Doner says, and he even said that the racing is incredible. He said, but are we putting on a show the way we should? And that's what Bill Doner was all about. And that's what we tried to get across in the Legends, the series. Now, Joe, as you remember, when I was starting to do video, I basically made my first video last February. And I just learned from, you know, a lot of guys and all. And I really want in these video features like Legends, the series, I want people to look past my shortcomings of as a video editor and look at the content of the stuff that we're presenting, the stuff like Bill Doner. And in fact, if we all clamor for those old days and we get these guys unplugged and talking freely, we could learn a lot from them that we could apply to today's drag racing.
I agree.
Just my opinion.
I agree completely. I would encourage all the people out there to look past all of our shortcomings and regardless of what they are. But no, Bobby, I think there was a lot of great content. I don't want to spoil it for the listeners out there because I want them to check it out. But I have to ask you, Doner sounds like he wants to do something.
He still does. What
could that be?
He has been working with a group in Lake Havasu. I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Yes.
The place where Corey Mack's from.
Yes.
We'll just say that. The place where Corey Mack's from.
The Spring Break Lake where all the girls go wild on the boats.
Yes. And he's looking to do a track. And he said in the middle of all of that he's going to do some funny car promotions. I think he's gotten past the politics of the local government. And I think at this point it's just money that is, you know, where they need the next obstacle to work through. But, you know, Bill Doner was very instrumental. And even though he's not promoting races, he's helping to organize these things. And in the one weekend I went to Orange County, California, he organized the Snake and Mongoose interview with us. You know, Gary Densham himself, you know, Wild Bill Shrewsbury, all stuff that'll be coming up on Legends, the series. And even one on Steve Reyes, arguably one of the greatest photographers in drag racing.
Very interesting. Now, I'm excited. You got Bill on the show for me a while ago when he was in the Competition Plus War Stories competition, and I do understand that there is a wealth of knowledge and experience there. I would like to see him at very least illustrate or put in on paper, you know, thoughts and opinions about what's going on currently. But also, I was very excited to hear you say that the past couple of events for the NHRA were very well received, because that was my opinion as well. I kind of felt like Denver was amazing. I enjoyed Chicago. The live TV stuff, to me, it is where we need to go because of the extra electricity, the countdown clock, the guys are working, they're trying to meet a deadline, all of those things. That's what the sport is about. It was great to hear that you felt that sensation as well.
Well, the thing is that we have made these great strides in the last, and I'll go back. I'm not even going to count Chicago because I've got my own opinions about that race. But we're going to talk about Norwalk. Norwalk was another home run. And then you go from Norwalk to Denver, and it's just like the momentum carries over. What people like myself will be looking for is to see how the management of the NHRA takes advantage of this success. If we are able to capitalize on the success to take drag racing out of the, quote, funk it's been in here lately.
To build it into something bigger, greater, more appreciated. Of course, 60th U.S. Nationals, Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals coming up, all kinds of fun stuff. Courtney Force winning, becoming the winningest female funny car driver ever. You've got all kinds of diversity demonstrated on this program. Courtney, Khaled Al-Balushi, Brittany, and J.R. Todd making fun. Just so many great aspects and angles coming out of this sport right now. I do think that it is something has to be done with that. You have to capitalize somehow, while at the same time, NASCAR, I don't know if you saw the Brickyard 400, as much as I love it and enjoy it and really appreciate it and thought it was a, you know, it's a premier event, it was frightening to see how many people were disguised as empty seats.
Joe, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'd rather watch paint dry than to watch NASCAR. Let's just be honest about that. And while we're on the topic of honesty here, let's talk about the 60th anniversary deal. There's no doubt that Glenn Cromwell and the NHRA people are working very hard to make this 60th anniversary strong and special. But if I were king of drag racing world, I would do things a little differently. You know, we're talking and sending out press releases and we're celebrating, you know, shave Garlett's beard and all this stuff. Why not invite Garlett's to bring his electric dragster to run 200 miles an hour or try to do it? And if he makes it at Indy's 60th anniversary, let him shave his beard there. That's one idea. You know, go get one of these nostalgia funny car guys that has a Corvette body car and an Arrow, Plymouth Arrow. Pay the money. Have them wrapped like the snake in the mongoose cars. Let them finish out the Friday event. Make Friday the nostalgia day. And at the end of the event, let the snake and mongoose cars run down the track. Then on the Grind Boss Vision, show the snake and mongoose movie. I mean, that might be the largest audience that's ever watched the movie before. You know? We're gonna have the, Jim Nicole Don Perdomo there. You know, in between the fuel classes. We only have one session that night. Again, take two modern day nostalgia funny cars, nostalgia dragsters. You know, put skins like Perdomo's car and Nicole's car. Let them run and gosh, let's hope to goodness one of them doesn't have a clutch explosion this time. You know, or bring back some real life gassers to run on Friday night. Stuff like that. That's what I believe captures the nostalgic theme instead of just putting an area and say, oh, look, we've got a corral back here. You know what I mean?
I do know
what
you...
idea.
Well, I like them all. I like every one of those ideas. Mostly the Garlett's electric dragster idea, because I really love that story and believe it bridges the gap from old to new, from nostalgia to current. It shows what drag racing is truly rooted in, which is the pursuit of speed and technology, whichever technology is relevant to all of those things. I don't think it would take away from the product, because I know we're not running electric dragsters out there, and so that might be a consideration. Well, this isn't what the sport is.
It's a hook. It's a hook, just like all of these others. And pay Bill Bader Jr. to come in and be the MC of Friday night's Nostalgia Night. Anybody who knows Bill Bader Jr. knows that he could make you excited and sit on the edge of your seat to watch paint dry. He could do it. Book him in as the MC, you know, bring the nostalgia program like that, you know, specials for fathers and sons, or fathers and daughters, or mothers and sons, whatever combination.
Aunts and uncles.
That's it.
Grandparents.
That's it.
I am all for it. I will say this, though. I do not know every detail about what they have planned for the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, but I know they have many things like we are discussing. I don't know the specifics as to the electric dragster one. I think it should be automatic. It should be automatic because the guy is doing it right now. Why not do it in the biggest race that we have? At the same time, maybe Garlitz doesn't want to do it there. Maybe that would take away the fun of the laid-back weekend for him and make it more about racing, and he would put his racing face on and be too into that. You know, who knows? But before we let you go, Bobby, Frank Manzo, Legends. Want people to check that one out as well. I have yet to watch that one. Am I going to like it?
Oh, absolutely. You'll find out. And I will give you a little bit of spoiler part in here. You know, and it completely knocked me off of my stool that I was sitting on, you know, conducting the interview. I said, was there one person you tried to emulate when you came into the sport or that you looked up to or anything? And he said, Dale Earnhardt Sr. And man, you talk about flooring you. You're expecting, Don Garlitz or Ken Vinnie or one of these guys. And he comes out with Dale Earnhardt. And it just absolutely floored me.
Makes sense to me.
He said, I just watched it. And, you know, not only the Frank Manzo, but we look at, like, the Graham Light episode. A lot of people don't know that he used to be a competitive drag racer. And, in fact, raced a Top Fuel car, crashed on his very first run. And
the Graham Light one was great.
Yeah, and Graham, a lot of people don't know that he starred. He was in a movie.
He starred. He did not star. Michael Ironside was
starred
in one.
Starred was starred. If you saw any of the stunt driving that he did,
it was
he and the late Gordy Bonin.
Hysterical.
But you know, the Legends, the series. In fact, one of the episodes that we're currently working on is on a guy that we didn't even know his name. We didn't even know his real name, and nor did anybody that we interviewed. Nobody knew his name. Nobody knew hardly anything about him. They just knew him at the racetrack, and that's Porky the Pirate.
Porky the Pirate.
Yes. One of the colorful individuals of the 1970s. We've got interviews with him. Not with him, but about him. You know, we got Garlitz, Steve Reyes, Prudhomme, McEwen, Gary Densham. We got some real good stuff going on here, and we're just looking to try to, and I'm out of breath here because I've been traveling and running all over, but, we're looking, at the start of online television, and we're hoping to be up and running at full speed in the next 5 years.
Well, I love it. I think it is great, and I'm very excited about it. Now, I got to ask you about one thing. We've been kicking it around a little bit throughout the show, and I want your perspective. I think that Erica Enders Stevens has her greatest opportunity to win a Mellow Yellow Championship here in 2014. The Elite Performance Camaro is definitely on the cutting edge of performance here right now, and they're missing two races by choice. Do you think that is a good move? Do you think that move will be second-guessed at some point? And do you think, because right now the world of drag racing is such that the racers choose where they're going to go, when they're going to go there, that kind of thing. It's a meet. You don't have to. You're not obligated or compelled to show up to all the races. At the same time, there are fans.
Joe, just stop it right there.
Fans,
I give the girl.
Well, let me get to the end. There are fans that are showing up to Pacific Raceways this weekend that are going to say, hey, where's Erica? I wanted to see her. She's not here. Why?
Well, number one, I don't know who had the asinine idea that it was a great idea to have a 24-race schedule in such an economy that's so challenging. I applaud Richard Freeman and Erica Enders. Why go to a race that means nothing, that you're going to spend three times the money to win, you know, to win maybe a third? Where does it make business sense? You got no sponsor. You're number one. You could sit out two races, still be in the number one position. In fact, you could sit out the rest of them until the countdown starts, still be in the top three. Where does it make sense? You know, and then when you do that, you just, the countdown has made it to where, you know, some of these races they just don't matter. I mean, they matter to the fans who are paying the money to come see them, but in the grand scheme of championship, they mean nothing.
Well, okay.
Once that points the position.
Let's take that as gospel for a moment. because there's a lot of different angles. For instance, if they somehow figure out if Alan Johnson wins and at the U.S. Nationals wins again, is able to take the points lead from Erica, and then ultimately the championship is decided by less than the 20 points that would have been the difference between first and second, there will be some second guessing going on. But
no, not really. There's one. It's one round. That's one round. That's all you gain.
Ask Ron Capps and what these guys, what one round means. But forget about that. Just the scope of the fans. Should there be a bonus? Should there be a legislation? Should there be understanding that racers are racers, some sort of bonus for attending every race, for showing up to work at every event?
I think there should be a shorter schedule, then you won't need to do that. Shorter schedule. Have you ever thought that maybe drag racing needs to take two steps back to take three forward?
I don't know. I think some people would deem that as a regression.
Well, who would say that? The big teams that have the big money? So what if you have to take less sponsorship? You're spending less money. You know?
But there are fans, let's call them 20, 30,000 fans in whichever cities you're talking about eliminating their races, that will be disappointed.
Well, what about the races that the people aren't coming to? You know?
There are a few.
I mean, where does the Western Swing become so grueling when you've got five race weekends in a row?
Western Swing.
These teams outside, you go outside the Colittas, the Forces, and the Schumachers, and all the big teams. I mean, it's killing these smaller teams, the teams like Steve Torrence and Terry McMillan's and those things. You need those guys. You need those teams out there. And these 24 race schedules and so many consecutive races are killing the quality of this sport. They're killing it.
But we were just talking about how we had such great events and the momentum.
We do have that. But then we have some duds in there, too, right?
Well, we're going to have to...
I know you can't say that, but I can.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to do that, and we don't have to do it right now, we can do it at a time in the future, maybe at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals when WFO is there and we have a little bit of time. You got to say which ones. Like, which tracks are you going to put on the chopping block and drop the, the guillotine on? And which states and which cities and which race fans are going to be the ones that are bummed out? That's a tough decision. It's easy to say shorten the schedule, but it's tough to say who gets it.
Either that or we need to do something to cut the costs here, because this is killing the smaller finance teams to do that. They have no time to go back to prepare in their shop. If I was Erica Andrews' team, and I'm not on the road racing, I'll be at a track somewhere testing.
Well, exactly. Testing. So why not show up to the race?
Close to home. Well, I wouldn't have to go all the way to Seattle or Sonoma. You know, I could go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know.
Yeah, you know, it is very interesting. One other thing before we let you go. Of course, the Bobby Bennett segment, as normal, is always like, it starts out at 5 minutes and ends up at 35. Well, that's fine.
Sorry, I'm just keeping it real.
Well, I love it. But the Norwalk situation, Bill Bader and the local community, another complex story we were following. I read that, and I think the guy just needs to build something from scratch. Is that possible, or is it posturing?
Well, it's not posture. It's definitely real. But you have to ask yourself, if you're Bill Bader, and given the state of the economy, and throw out the last three races, are you willing to make that big of an investment to build a whole new facility? And thank goodness for the Baders that their business model does not count, nor does it depend on a national event for their success. You know, they have many other successful events. They've got a tough situation there.
See, my views on the economy, not to go too deep, but interest rates are low. people are looking for work, so construction can be had at a better rate than previous in our history. This is the United States of America. We are going to continue to go on. And as stated in your article, they believe their core, one of their core beliefs is that people will always find time for entertainment that they like. Those things aligning tell me that now is exactly the time where you make some sort of capital improvement and investment, when you can borrow the money for cheap and get the construction done at a rate that is reasonable. And I know that, that if you were to do something like that, a big investment, there would be construction companies lining up to be the ones to do it. Now, it doesn't make it free and doesn't make it cheap, but if you're going to make a bet on yourself, I think when things are coming back and not at their peak, that's when to do it.
I just, you know, let me just state that if anybody can pull it off, it'll be the Baders. The Baders or the Bandermeers, they can pull it off. And they can make it happen and make it work. But I think there's so much history there in Norwalk. And I tell you, whether the county that they're in realizes it or not, I know the city of Norwalk realizes it. But they'll hurt from this situation. They'll hurt from this.
Well, and that's my point. And I have not been to Norwalk just yet, so I do not understand the nature of the history. Having just been to Bandermeer and witnessed it, and understanding that they had once considered building from scratch elsewhere, I'm happy that they did not, because the character of the place overrides any additional convenience a modern super track might be afforded. That having been said, right, when you have a local government that does not understand your value, nor do they appreciate what you bring to the community, I feel like we know how that has to go, that you have to, it's a common thing. Local governments don't appreciate very often what they've got until it's gone.
Yeah, that's, you hit the nail on the head there, Joe.
Yeah, what are you going to do? All right, Bobby, thank you so much for weighing in here on WFO Radio. Folks, go to competitionplus.com. You can get there by way of WFOradio.com, or you can use your keyboard and check out the Legends series. Bill Doner, Frank Manzo, many more to come. And, of course, Bobby covering each and every NHRA Mellow Yellow Series event, as well as IHRA and all the series out there on competitionplus.com. Bobby, thank you very much.
Hey, Joe, thank you for having me on WFO and WFO Radio Rock.
Thanks, Bobby. Bobby Bennett from CompetitionPlus.com with us here on WFO Radio, and hopefully you check out his site on a weekly, if not daily, basis. Got some very interesting stuff on CompetitionPlus.com, and always love hearing from Bobby Bennett. See, he's got a different opinion of the Elite Motorsports Erica Enders Stevens situation, so that's a couple of different attitudes. That is the... He's talking about narrowing the schedule. See, I disagree with that. I think that when you give the signal that your sport is shrinking, that is a bad sign. But everyone has their own view on it. I like the idea of growing the pie, making it, making more teams have more money so they can afford to run more races. Now, you can overgrow too. You can definitely overgrow. We're seeing that perhaps in NASCAR. We're seeing that in other motorsports series. Maybe there is too much, but you have to be involved. Look at the NFL. Every weekend for a season, and everybody is in. They know what's happening. This on again, off again. It's tough for the television audience. So before I were to cut the schedule, I would try other things. But nonetheless, obviously, the opinions are plentiful and the ideas out there. Did you see the Brickyard 400? Did you watch the John Wayne Walding Crown Royal Brickyard 400? The attendance, it's a very difficult situation because that is the biggest racing facility on the planet. So if you can seat 350 to 400,000 people, and of course capacity for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was created and expanded in the pre-high-definition television, in the pre-NFL domination, in the pre-ESPN universe. going to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the once-a-year greatest spectacle in racing was 400,000 people would show up, and 300,000-plus still show up. So they can't remove seats from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. What is shocking is that the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has not garnered any kind of live attendance. It was shocking. In fact, I got a text message from a great friend who helped me out with WFO Radio at the very beginning, and the word used was very alarming, actually, the phrase, very alarming. So, drag racing fans, take a second to think about the attendance at Sonoma, the attendance at Bandimere. Chicagoland was very good attendance in a massive, massive facility Friday and Saturday. Sunday, not as much. But I can understand that. Norwalk, from what I gather, was huge and tremendous. Epping was bursting at the seams. I can think of many races this year on the NHRA side of things that were at or near capacity. At or near capacity. So, what are we doing? I think things are looking pretty good. But then again, I don't know any of the numbers. I don't know anything. We're out here in the dark. So, having opinions might be foolish. But the idea of narrowing the races or trimming back the schedule, I would be against that. That's just me. As far as whether or not you should skip races to maintain your position, that is the rule book as it is currently written. Maybe there is some sort of attendance bonus that could be put into play. We're going to have to consider that. Anyway, that's going to do it, folks. Thanks to Bobby Bennett, of course, for coming on the show, bringing the heat. Always love that. Thanks to Eddie Krawick for coming on the show. Thanks to Jason Line. If you're a Pro Stock fan, if you like KB Racing, if you like Chevrolet Camaros, if you like the factory hot rods, WFO is the place to be. John Ramsey, all the folks at Pacific Raceways, good luck this weekend. It's on the bucket list. One of these days, I will make it out to the Great Northwest. In general, I want to see it. Of course, Khaled Al-Balushi and Courtney Force for starting us off with the drivers, and Alan Reinhardt for coming on the show, taking a little break from his big tour of the Pacific Coast Highway. That is going to do it. Thank you so much. Once again, check out our sponsors. Download the WFO Radio app. Follow us on social media. The way other listeners find out about this show, other drag racing fans, the way they find out about this show is by you telling them. Of course, we have a social media presence, and the folks at Competition Plus and other people are out there. The drivers are tweeting and retweeting. But really, your social media communications and word of mouth is the way that this show gets new listeners. So anything you can do to let your drag racing fan friends know about the talk show that we do here on WFO Radio is greatly appreciated. All right, that's going to do it. All the racers, good luck this weekend out there at Pacific Raceways. All the race fans, remember, we have the Ignition Show as well, where we talk NASCAR, Formula One, and IndyCar, as well as our WFO Fantasy League. We invite you to go to the archive and click Ignition. There is a good chance you will laugh at some point during the program. And if not, I don't know, we have a different sense of humor. That's going to do it. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else?
Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.
I love WFO Radio.